Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California!
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope on this cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doc, you homie. Fuck that. Black dude, holler.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J. Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is Wednesday, September 26, 2012, the last show of September, to the best of my knowledge. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J. Cat Morris, as always. And it's another show, another week, another show. Oh, man. I got the football thing. I'm going to get into that in just a minute. I have some CZW to talk about. On, you know, for a couple reasons, and, you know, I'll get over some of that. See, I didn't attend that CZW show over the weekend, but I did hear a lot about it, and I do have the results in front of me, so I can speak a little bit about it, what I think of the booking, and what I heard about it from live crowd and stuff like that, and again, you know, if I need to amend anything when I actually do see it, yeah, I'll do so, you know, no big deal. And, yeah, so before I do that, and my friend David Long should be calling in around the 10 o'clock hour to talk some fitness and all sorts of different things. Let me see who I got on the line here. You.
Yo. What's up, Jake?
Who it is?
Juan.
Juan. What's going on, Juan?
Nothing, man. How you been?
Cool. Long time no hear, man.
I know. I've been fucking busy. Baby's coming in 2-3 weeks, you know.
Wow.
No, holy shit. See, I thought about that shit. Looking at her like, holy fuck, this kid's gonna come soon.
You got a name lined up?
Iris.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. So how about them 49ers?
Well, you ain't laughing as if like 1 week changes something. With your Philadelphia turnovers. I know an Eagle fan is not going to heckle my Niners off of a loss.
Hey, we got our asses whooped. I was like, damn, that's fucked up.
Y'all got y'all asses whooped in your two wins, let alone this one. Fucking, come
hey,
on, man.
Whatever, so we won something. We got our asses whooped. I was like, god damn, what the fuck happened?
Yep. Everybody said our division is shit. Everybody want to talk shit on our division. Say, oh, yeah, you'll clearly go to the playoffs because your division ain't shit. Well, let me see. The Arizona Cardinals, well, fuck the Eagles. But they went in and they beat the fucking Patriots. Then you got, you know, and then you got the Seahawks. Then, you know, I mean, they beat the Packers. You know, had a lot of help from Zebras, but, you know. Oh, I'm going to get into that a little later because that's a whole other story. That shit's a tragedy. But, you know, anytime a team is close enough in the game like that, I mean, even if the ref completely fucks the game up, sorry, man, you kind of already lost the game.
Are you really comparing these referees now?
The what?
Like, we got fucking teachers and fucking gym teachers being referees.
Oh, yeah, he's... Dude, these refs are retarded. I'm going to get into that a little bit later. But
like, are you fucking kidding me? Do you see what I put on the Facebook?
Yeah, I've been posting those memes.
Raise your hand if you have no fucking...
Yeah, I posted that shit earlier today myself. Yep.
Like, what the fuck? I mean, Houston Texans are doing pretty good, too. That's my other team I like.
It's the other team. So when you abandon ship on them Eagles, that's where you're going?
Hell yeah.
Well, at least you have an escape plan.
Yeah, fuck I do. Shit, I'd jump off that ship like cannonball light.
That's funny. It's funny as hell. Brittany look high as hell on TV right now. This is my new TNA, by the way. I used to watch TNA on mute on my TV and then laugh as I looked up. Now I'm watching Brittany's Got Facial Expressions, and that's, you know, muted
like
on my TV.
Like she got to take a shit or something to see her face.
She just makes like sometimes she'll just scumbag whoever's singing in front of her and she'll just look at him like she wants to fight him and shit. And then other times she'll look just high as hell like she doesn't know where she's at. And other times she just, I don't know. It's just kind of funny to watch. I've heard a lot about the way she's been looking at motherfuckers in this show that I wouldn't otherwise care about. So I figured, hey, I need something to just put on mute on my TV. Why not this? So that's what I've been doing.
I forgot her name.
Huh?
Something Romato, the other judge girl.
Demi Lovato or whatever.
Yeah, she has a nice body on her. Thick.
Was she like fucking 16 years old?
No, she's 18. It's okay.
She's 18?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There you go. You just avoided being a fucking pedophile.
Hell yeah, I did.
Like 6 months of avoiding being... Yeah, nice. So anyway, I want to go into my normal football banter and stuff. I don't know if you want to chime in here and there. I know I'm doing this thing regularly with Stan and Nick from the Sports Den. So we got our picks going. And actually this week I took the lead because, man, what a lopsided week. This nobody could call this week, including myself. I mean, shit, when it comes down to it on the week, I only came in with 6 total wins. And that's not, that's not big, but, Nick had 6 wins and, Stan only had 3. Stan was the big leader coming into this week. And, now I got 22 points. Nick's got 21 points and Stan's got 20 points. So we're all chasing each other still. Nobody's blowing nobody out, but, we got quite a race going and, it's becoming quite fun. And, I always love talking to football shit and going through the thing. So, well, I guess just go right into it. Game one, we have the Cleveland Browns at the Baltimore Ravens, and the Ravens are favored by 13.5 points. Man, after week 3, though, it's really hard to call because you've seen kind of both sides of just about every team out there. And, you know, I mean, the Ravens have looked the Ravens have looked pretty strong. Overall, I think they're a pretty strong team. They just went out there and beat the Patriots. And I had Patriots coach yoking up the ref and, you know, 50 grand later, you know, they took the loss and Flacco did his thing. I mean, 382 yards, 3 touchdowns. you know, 28 for 39, pretty good going there. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
You open these fucking referees up, I'll be the same shit, too.
Yeah. The fucking league need to yoke the referees up and throw them out, but the coaches can't start doing it because it ain't going to, you know, it's just going to sit the coaches down or, you know, cost some money. But, so, yeah, I got to go with the Ravens. They're favored by a lot of points, but Cleveland, that's a rough game, too, because Cleveland, the Ravens can score points, but Cleveland has put up great defensive games against a couple teams. They've been scrapping, but really haven't been able to put together wins and, you know, I mean, I think they put up like four picks from you guys, but again, you guys ain't shit. They were talking on after this week. Are you guys gonna stick with Vic or what are you gonna like? Yeah, Jesus, that's exactly what I want to hear when people were like, "Should you still play Michael Vick?" I love it, fucking love it. Nandy Reid's gotta be like, "No, we're sticking with our guy."
No, we got the other good ass quarterback we got.
Yeah. What kind of animals does he fight?
Well, I think he got picked for the draft.
He's got time to come up with stupid hobbies. It's all good. Eric's the funniest motherfucker ever. Like, this dude almost weekly will be like, "Yo, can I call in to listen?" Which nobody has to ask me to do that shit. If you're just like, "Yeah, I'm just calling in to listen and shit," like, don't pick the call up. I'm like, "Ah, no problem." You know, if that's how you want to listen.
That's
and like
I
every
it.
Week, yeah, well, I didn't know. I just pick up calls because people calling them, you know. And so I was just like, every time, I'm like, "Yeah, no problem." Fucking, this dude is on hold no longer than fucking 5-10 minutes, and his call drops. Like, he is the call dropping his king of the fucking universe.
Thank you, Metal PCF.
I just fuck with him. I think it was last week or something on the Two Mom show, and he's like, "Yeah, can I call in and listen?" I'm like, "Yeah, yeah, definitely." I was like, "You know, if your fucking phone stays on," he's like, "Yeah, real funny." Same thing, maybe 5-7 minutes dropped, never came back. I was like, that's funny.
That's what you get for having Metro PCF.
Is that what he's got?
It has to be. 7 minutes of fucking call drops.
He'd be dropping the shit out of a call, man.
Fuck.
He botches more calls than these fucking refs. But
oh my god.
And that's rough. So anyway, you got San Diego at KC. San Diego is only favored by 1.5 away. I'm going with San Diego. I think they're a strong enough team. Kansas City's been another one of those up and down. Not that the Chargers have been solid, but I mean, they got the shit beat out of them by the Falcons, who I think are a pretty solid team. So it's not like they got the shit kicked out of them by nobodies. I think they're still a strong enough team to put something on the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know. I mean, the Chiefs went in there and beat the Saints, but honestly, I think the Saints are slouches right now. I don't really care what nobody says. I think the Saints have a big, big problem on their hands, and it ain't just the other teams being better. They got issues.
I'm going for the Chiefs.
Yeah? All right. Well,
yeah. Hold on. My wife has called me. I think it's time for dinner. So, just put me on hold, dude.
All right. There we go. All right, now back to me just doing what I do. All right, so then, I mean, you kind of got to know what's coming up next because it's a 1 o'clock game. You're getting it early, and you know, I mean, I'm gonna be doing all sorts of jalapeno poppers and the shit is on and popping early. And, you know, that's my guys over there at
San Francisco.
Against the New York Jets, my guys are favored by 4.5 away. And I got San Francisco, and I don't think anybody else doesn't have San Francisco. So the deal is here. Now I got to talk about my game. Now, I will say this about my game. Our defense came up not looking like our defense. They did pretty good. We still put a pretty good hit on them. But here's our big fucking fault here. Offensive line did not hold up. Christian Ponder played a great game on Minnesota Vikings offense. He was able to scramble. He was able to make plays. He really had our defense on our heels, and that's not how our defense plays. So I got to fault our defense for that because I think we have the best defense in the league, and we did not show it against Minnesota. Now, after beating two playoff teams, maybe they weren't ready for this shit. Possibly not. I expect us to come back full force this week against the Jets. I would not sleep on us for two fucking seconds. Don't take a cat nap on our fucking team because I'm telling you, we are not even close to fucking done. So there's another fucking ring on the San Francisco 49ers side. You, let me do something real quick. I do almost have my phone. If you could just give me 1 minute. I just gotta, I'm trying to hit off Joe Bailey with a number, and, I'm sorry for the delay, guys. My guys, I mean, listen, the thing is like I said, our offensive line was not holding up. Our receivers did their thing. We still got tons of weapons going on there. And you know, I got to give my guys credit for what they did on the receiving end. And Alex did the best he could, you know. And he was on his fucking heels. He was on his back. He got sacked. He threw his first pick in, I believe, 12 games, some shit like that. I think it was a team record. Now, when you talk about a team that had Joe Montana and Steve Young back there, you know damn well that is not an easy task to set a team record of any quarterback stat across the board. You really have no idea how hard that is. And honestly, you should have some idea. Well, you know, those guys' names are pretty fucking legendary. So I give him credit for doing what he did. And I don't think we're done. Our guys were catching some balls. Mario Manningham looked great. Vernon Davis has been solid as shit. Michael Crabtree is finally looking like the quarterback. Yeah, he's looking like a quarterback. No, he's looking like the wide receiver that we drafted. And it's been a couple of years of waiting for him to actually pop into effect and look like the guy that we drafted. And I couldn't be happier with that guy's performance this year. Randy Moss is kind of hit and miss. You know, but that's the thing. Randy Moss was not even brought in to be what Randy Moss was always used as. Randy Moss has been the guy who they relied on to be the primary wide receiver, and him, just like the Chad Ochocinco, just like the TOs, have melted down. Other guys have took the spotlight. They were playmakers, but they weren't just because they were top-level wide receiver doesn't mean they were team leaders or guys that were going to be on you know, get the biggest catches, get all the catches in the game. You weren't going to be the go-to guy because, of course, you were going to see those double-teamed a lot. It was going to open up things for other guys. If Randy Moss could do nothing other than be a decoy for us this year, he'll still be a valuable asset to the team. So I have no problem with that. And if he does that, he's still going to make his big plays. You got Manningham to defend against. You got Vernon Davis, who I think is really going to have a breakout year. He's been doing his thing, except for, you know, the dunk contest he tried to compete in. He's been doing his thing. And, you know, like I said, Crabtree snapping, and you got some big things going on there. Our running game also was shut down, completely shut down. Again, without the offensive line holding up, they were in our backfield all day. So whether we were running the ball, and they were meeting them in the backfield, or they were, or they were trying to pass the ball, and he's on top of our quarterback. It's hard to make plays that way. It really is. So it's not a, something that I, you know, can really fault a lot for. Like I said, I think the offensive line is our biggest problem, and not overall. We're not carrying the burden of a horrible offensive line. This past week, they played bad, but it also could be that, the Vikings defense just came through and played really hard. They bust through that line like they meant something. And Christian Ponder played quarterback like he meant something. He scrambled. He made some serious, serious plays. He had some things where we chased him right out of the pocket, and he made some on-the-run throws that were clutch. Like, you don't just – I mean, we started out the game with some stupid penalties and just stuff that we shouldn't have been violating on the very first drive and led them right in. So, of course, shocked to start the game, but that does not speak for the points that were put up across the four quarters. And we started to come back, but damage was done. And the tone was set for them to play a hard game. They play defense similar to the way that we do. We don't give people a lot of breathing room, and they didn't give us a lot of breathing room. That's something that you generally don't see out of the Minnesota Vikings, and you could likely see out of the San Francisco 49ers. And I think you will see out of the San Francisco 49ers. We're going to be all over Sanchez. They put Tebow in. We're going to be all over Tebow. I don't give a fuck what they do. It's going to be something else. So, again, I got to go with my boys. I had to be long-winded because, of course, people are going to talk shit. Oh, my God, what happened to the 49ers? Oh, you're losing games now. Ain't that some shit? Like, yeah, okay, listen. It's a trap game. So it's that game that you don't expect to lose. Everybody's looking at what are you going to do against the Packers? And then guess what? We beat the fucking Packers. The Packers never led the game. Then, oh, shit, Detroit, that could be a tough one. We go in there, we beat Detroit. Detroit never led the game. And then, yay, fuck, oh, you guys are going to kill the fucking the Vikings. Well, guess what? Then we turn around, the Vikings, they heard the same shit that everybody heard. Everybody heard that the Vikings were buried, including the Vikings. So when they came in there and they put up the points, and we didn't answer back, and they put pressure on us, man, believe me, these teams scout each other. So when it comes down to a team that's on paper completely beaten and buried before the week starts, they're doing everything they can to try to make that game happen for them. Even if that's the only game they're going to look good this season, which I don't honestly think so, because I think their defense can put pressure on a lot of different quarterbacks if they could do it to us. And I think Christian Ponder could look good against bad defenses. If he could look good against our defense, he could look good against a lot of defense. He could take advantage of a lot of different holes and a lot of different defenses, because the dude did his thing against us. I'm not saying he's the next coming, but there's a lot of those top teams who are slipping. Not including us, because we're just becoming a top team, you know? Between last year and this year, we've become a contender. Again, after many years of not being there. But New England, not looking so good. New Orleans, not looking so good. I mean, a lot of these teams that were the high and mighty. Green Bay, kind of shaky, got to tell you. I don't see them as a unstoppable team right now. I think they got some issues to deal with. And it's, you know, it's going to be a long season for everybody. You got a lot of up-and-comers. You got a lot of teams that used to be up top that's just not showing what they're used to being seen as. So anyway, last time, go with my Niners. All right, so you got that. And fuck the Jets, too. so anyway, I'll be watching that fired up at, you know, 1 o'clock over here. Then you got the Carolina Panthers taking on the Atlanta Falcons. Carolina just went in there and got embarrassed against the Giants. Atlanta's really starting to show themselves as the team of that division, in my opinion. And Atlanta's favored by 7.5 points. I think Atlanta's going to go up big on this one. Carolina's going to have to get their heart back after losing it against them Giants. So I kind of see that that's going to be a rough one for them. And, you know, I guess we'll see how it goes, but I am going to go with the Atlanta Falcons on that one. Next up, you got the Tennessee Titans at the Houston Texans. The Texans have been pretty fiery lately. Last week, Tennessee finally showed their stuff to a certain extent and actually put it up pretty big. Let me see what the actual stats were, because I know it was far better than what they were putting up. Yeah, I mean, they put up 44 points last week. They're now 1-2. Overtime they went to, but I mean, you had I mean, Locker threw for 378 yards, 29 for 42. You know, I mean, Chris Johnson is still, he's still not the guy right now. He's still not doing his damn thing at all. So they got issues there. They got big, big issues there. But, you know, I mean, to put up that amount of points, they're coming through. But again, they were up big, up early, and the Lions came right back to making an overtime game. I just don't think the Titans are that team this year. They might show little flashes or something, but I think Houston is kind of the real deal in the AFC right now. So I'm going with Houston taking this big, and that's 12.5 points they're favored by. So I'm going with Houston. You got Seattle at St. Louis. Now, this is another one of those games that, to me, it seems very easy, very clean cut. But you got a, you know, division team, you know, division shit there. You had the Seahawks had beat the shit out of the Cowboys. You had the Seahawks, the refs robbed the Packers for the Seahawks to get that victory. But let's not play around. The Seahawks sacked Aaron Rodgers 8 times in the first half. That's obviously a team that could put some pressure on another team. I mean, am I wrong? Now, clearly, the finish to that game was the biggest botch. That was one of the worst things that has happened out of a referee's call in the history of football. That was – nobody in their right mind can look at that play. Even on – you see it for what it was, and then you see it reviewed, and you still go, yep, no, it was a touchdown. This guy had the ball to his chest, back turned to the receiver. The receiver had a reach around on the ball and had one – I don't even think he had 2 hands on that ball. Maybe he did, but it was reached around the other guy's back who had it clung to his chest. He didn't even break out of the pile with the ball. Not to mention the offensive pass interference to even go up for that ball. Completely disgraceful, disgraceful end to that game. Disgraceful, terrible shit. Packers got robbed. But I'll tell you what, though, if the Packers were expected to be even at a Hail Mary situation to close that game, then obviously the Packers aren't the team that people expected them to be. They're not the team that went 15-1, or they're not that team that won all those games in a row last year. They're obviously slipping. They're obviously having problems. We went in there and we beat them straight up. But for the Seattle Seahawks to go in there and sack Aaron Rodgers 8 times in the first half, that'll cause problems for them any time of the day with regular refs in there without botching that finish. You still have problems if you're allowing your quarterback to get sacked 8 times in 2 quarters. That's no good. So, again, I'm not saying the Seahawks are just a clear-out better team than what Green Bay is. I'm saying Green Bay ain't what people want Green Bay to be, especially the Green Bay fans. So it is what it is there, and they did get robbed, but I personally don't think the Seahawks belonged at a Hail Mary situation come that point in the game, and I think it had a lot to do with the way Green Bay played at least first half football. I mean, you came down to, a slugfest in the second half, but man, when you allow a team such as the Seattle Seahawks, and let me rehash where people just said, oh yeah, of course, yeah, your Niners, yeah, they look really good, and with that horrible division, who can't make the playoffs? Well, that's funny because, like it or not, the fucking Seahawks put a loss on the fucking Green Bay Packers record. They beat the shit out of the Cowboys, who started the season beating the Super Bowl champions. You got the Arizona Cardinals, who put it on the Eagles, but who cares, and had put it on the fucking New England Patriots. So maybe our division isn't as bad as people said. They're not world beaters, and I still think we're going to run away with that division. But, barring some kind of crazy injuries, and I would never hope for that. But let's be real. Let's not pretend like everybody in that division's not even going to make 500, and then of course you're going to win it with your fucking stupid team. Like, hold on, because you got a couple teams in there that are giving a lot of problems to people around the league, and I don't know about that. But I got to go with Seattle on this one. St. Louis is the one team in my division that hasn't given a whole lot of teams around the league problems. And Seattle's favored by 1.5 away, so I'm still going with Seattle. You got the New England Patriots at the Buffalo Bills, and New England's favored by 3.5 points. They've been shaky too, but I got to go with New England on this one. I think they'll come through, and they'll probably actually come through big, I think, because they've been so shaky. Buffalo's been up and down. They look terrible one week, look great the next week. I think they're probably due for one of those off weeks, and I think New England will probably hand it to them. New England could continue to slide. I don't expect it. No one expects it. But if the money's going to be against Tom Brady on a regular basis throughout the season, then I guess I'm going to lose the money against Tom Brady, because generally there's a point where he snaps into focus and he's not an easy guy to beat. So I got to go with New England. You got Minnesota at Detroit. Detroit's favored by 4.5 at home. I got to go with Minnesota, man. After putting it on my team like that, I got to think they got to be on cloud nine. They got to be pretty confident about some of their abilities. They had to have seen some good things that they did in that game and be able to apply that to the future. Now, again, I don't think they're going out there winning their division. I don't expect to see the Minnesota Vikings in the playoffs, but I think they should have enough positive things coming off of last week to apply it to a team like Detroit. And I think they could definitely put it up against them, especially if they put pressure on their quarterback the way that they did on ours. I don't think Detroit's going to hold up unless they could score points. Detroit's generally a point scorer, and if they're not able to do it against Minnesota, you're talking a close game. And I think Minnesota's winning that straight out in Detroit. So I'm gonna go with Minnesota in that one. You got Miami at Arizona. Miami started to show a good amount of light. Reggie Bush actually was, like, I think second in the league in rushing or something crazy like that after years of being pretty much a bust. And I think Reggie Bush just got banged up in last game, so I'm not even sure that he's going to be playing this game. Arizona's been handing surprising losses across the league. They're favored by 6.5 points. I'm going to go with Arizona keeping the ball rolling, at least for this week. And, I'm going to go with Arizona winning by a touchdown. Next up, you got the Oakland Raiders taking on the Denver Broncos. And the Denver Broncos are favored by 6.5. I think Peyton's going to come out big in this one. And that's kind of what I expect to see out of this. So I'm going to go with Denver by a touchdown. Cincinnati at Jacksonville. Cincinnati's favored by 2.5. Again, Cincinnati's been putting up some points. They've been coming out pretty strong, and I don't think Jacksonville can fire back with enough points to match what Cincinnati's going to do. I know it's kind of cliche just kind of saying, oh, they're going to put up more points, so they'll win, clearly. But I'm just saying Cincinnati, I think, is capable of a high-scoring game, and I don't think Jacksonville is going to against Cincinnati. So got to go with Cincinnati there. Two teams of the disappointing end. The New Orleans Saints at the Green Bay Packers. Packers. Favored by 6.5 points. I think they snap off of their getting robbed. I think they come back really strong. They make sure this does not come down to one pass to end the game. And I think they beat up New Orleans by more than a touchdown. But I got them favored by 6.5 here. Going with Green Bay. I see Drew Brees taking quite a few sacks, quite honestly. All right. We got Washington at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's favored by 3.5 at home. I'm going with RG3 doing what he's been doing. He's been fighting strong. Maybe had a little bit of shaky moments this past week, but again, rookie season, he's been really, really impressive. And I think he puts up another one of those bouts against Tampa Bay, who's been up and down. They, catching a little bit of heat from that NFC East. And this will be the third team in the NFC East they've played in 4 weeks. So could be pretty interesting, but I see Washington winning that. So that's what that is. Maybe that'll be the division that haunts the Tampa Bay Bucks this year, but I have a feeling their division will haunt them just as much. Then you got the two scoops. New York Giants at the Philadelphia Turnovers. All right, the Eagles. The Eagles are favored by 2.5 points somehow. I don't know if I wrote that wrong or whatever, but I think the Giants win straight up, hands down. Eli, he's still got the ability to throw, as he showed a couple weeks ago, throw for over 500 yards if given the opportunity. Vic is very capable of throwing fucking four or five interceptions in a game. So I think that's going to continue. They're going to have big, big problems with the Giants. And so the Giants look more dominant this week than they have all season. And they beat the Philly Eagles pretty big in a NFC East rivalry. I think that's the night game, the Saturday night game. So you're talking prime time with those two up against each other. Yeah, I think the Big Blue, the G-Men, they're gonna put it up. They're gonna make Vic look like shit, which is not hard to do this season. When the Browns do it, you figure it's gonna be a long season there, dog killer. Then you have the Chicago Bears taking on the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys favored by 3.5 at home, but I'm not sold on the Cowboys. I'm really not. I think Chicago's going to come through. Even though Cutler's been looking like a whiny girl all season, I think they're still capable of putting up a lot of points, especially against a team like Dallas. I think their defense is probably going to look better than they did in most games because Dallas has the tendencies to let a lot of people into games, and when they let them into the games, it allows the defense to really shake things up and do things that even the defense is normally not capable or used to doing. So, I got to go with Chicago coming out on this one. See, it's hard. Week four, I'm taking a lot of away teams here. I'm seeing a lot of different things, and I'm seeing a lot of teams try to break out and make an identity for themselves because right now, a lot of these teams are really hard to call. You had teams that you had just stacked right on top of the pile come start of the season, and they have turned around and made it really hard to call from the start of the season to what you now see. So, that's why I think a lot of these guys are going to make big statements. You might see a couple of blowouts this week of teams that are really just trying to cement themselves. I hope we're one of those teams that blows the team out. I just hope to win the game. I think coming to Jersey over here where they pretend like it's New York, we're going to beat the shit out of that green team while I eat some green jalapeno poppers. And that's what that's going to be. I think that's all the football I got. Kind of ran through it a little quick because I didn't have nobody to talk to. Next week, Nick Two Scoops Russell from the Sports Den. They're going on a little early tonight. And it's like, oh, man. Try to figure out this fucking link. It's like Ustream dot, I'm probably way off on this, .tv/channel/sportsden. I'm probably missing like two slashes or some shit, but check them out on iTunes. See, the goal tonight is all these plugs I give, I want all y'all, including mine, go find that shit on iTunes and just subscribe to it. So you got them all up there every week, and if you want to listen, you just have those options up there, especially my shit, because I've been getting crazy ratings lately, and I just want that locked into everybody's queue. So then, hey, I missed that this week, but I can go back and check it because it's already on my iTunes and shit like that. So majority of people have iTunes, and it's free. So honestly, you don't even need an iPad, iPod, iPhone, none of that stuff. You can just put the iTunes on your computer, download a bunch of stuff to it if you want to listen to it on your computer. Do that thing. It does work. So just do that. Try to lock everybody in, Help me out. Help these guys out. Keep the numbers high. You know what I mean? Keep the family strong out this bitch. And, I got a bunch of other stuff to talk to. I talk about a lot of stuff tonight. I got my boy David coming on in a little while. I'm gonna, what the fuck, hold on a second, so I'm gonna take a break right quick, come back, talk a little more shit. Oh, and by the way, not only is the Sports Den going on at 10 o'clock, also Stern Nation is going on at 10 o'clock, and they do their shit on Ustream too, and they're finally doing it live and all that stuff. So, let me play the, I don't have a Sports Den commercial, so let me see if I can find the, Star Nation commercials. You could check them out. Jesus, I'm, doing about 1,000 on these commercials. Let me see. I don't even know what I put it under. I'm fantastic at doing this stuff. This is great radio when you can hear me talking about stuff like this. Oh, Jesus. Let me see. Oh, here we go. Here's the Stern Nation commercial, and then I'm going to take a break with a song, and I'll be back with more shit talk about random things, wrestling and whatnot.
T-O-P-L-E-S-S.
Do you take loads to the face and everywhere else?
Oh, Robin, that's inappropriate. Mustulate you.
Baba Booey.
A-19.
Is
cock strong. I want it right now.
I hate my brother.
Yeah! Stern Nation.
Stern Nation. Check them out on Podomatic, iTunes, or Stitcher.
Any girls ever had two penises in their ass?
I have, twice.
You should have mentioned that. I mean, that might have put you over the top.
6'5'9", would like to apologize to the family of my homeboy, Bugs, for letting that line leak out the radio. It's a long story how it happened. D12, dog, y'all better quit acting like that wasn't my man, too, like I was trying to disrespect him or something. I was trying to disrespect y'all, because that's what I'm doing from here on in. My new name from now on, don't even call me Royce 5'9 no more. Call me Malcolm X, because everybody in the city want to kill. I'm Malcolm X now. We don't see who's going. I ain't going nowhere, motherfucker. We don't see. Everybody who against me, nigga, I'm mad. Problem. Every time you motherfuckers breathe on the mic, it's a motherfucking lie, nigga. Nobody believes you.
What rap crew I gotta snatch about the game? Yeah, who must I smack for saying my name? Yeah. Somebody gon' die, it's probably you. You couldn't fit Bizarre's body in my shoes. Niggas quick to talk all hood till I pop up. Plus, you just act up cause Suge got locked up. I am above y'all. When you dropping your raps to diss me, I only recognize the top of your hat. And I don't like proof punk ass, he thinks he tough. He keeps 30 niggas with him cause he weak as fuck. I have to catch you by yourself, I'ma fuck you up. Snatch a little cheap ass cane and piece you up. You better hope you and the white boy keep in touch and be a good little hype man or your leaf is up. Since Slim signed 50, I don't see your teeth as much. It's good cause you got a grill like a fucking truck. Damn, homie. It's history over, hang it up. Go somewhere and hang up some 50 posts. Punk, speak you late. Y'all probably gonna go to them awards and get your ass whooped by B2K. I just wish Eminem would stop telling everybody he ain't speaking to me like I'm one of his hoes or something. How about this? I ain't speaking to you, Trump, and I'ma keep picking on your weak ass crew. Bizarre, you a fat stuttering fuck. You a joke, I choke whoever buttered you up. I've been riding by your house, you don't come out too much. You hiding, when I find you, I'ma snatch you out of that truck and tie your fat stankin' ass to your couch and just feed you. You already look like you about to bust. Nigga, you can run to hide. I'll be on your porch with a cheeseburger trying to lure you outside, cause he's in it. Bizarre, say, G, you net. I bet you throw some extra G's in it. Just like a stuttering fool can't reach intelligence. He's sweat when he raps, cause he got a beat. You better make you bitch. Porky's pig and Porky's tomb. About to dig his own grave with a fork and spoon. You bitch. Denine and Swifty, please. Give it a year. Both of y'all be raking 50, please. What do I know? That other nigga y'all got in your group, I don't even know his name, but he can shovel my snow. You bitch. Let's face it, I gave it to y'all. My little sister got 6 puppies who's braver than y'all. Niggas just started the beef, I'm about to end with the quickness. I'm about to end this quicker than Bizarre can finish a biscuit. Quicker than quick shit, y'all ain't felt to have. Quicker than Eminem can pinch Elton's ass. Don't call me, I ain't ready to squash it yet. Kiss my ass, I don't wanna talk to heck. I am so sick, I should be compared to cancer. Y'all throw up your dukes and don't swing like Francie Samson. I be making motherfuckers scratch their heads when I rhyme. Y'all little niggas scratch their heads and rhyme. Go play, you little punk ass niggas. Y'all can scream and yell all you want. I feel like I'm battling Keenan and Gale. You, none of y'all can put in the car to Keno. Paul better call me like he called Benzino. Matter of fact, I might even do a song with Ray. Sign a Murder Inc. and hit you with a song of sex.
We gon' beat you, Joe, so ass.
Yeah!
We gon' beat you, Joe, so ass.
Yeah.
I don't even want you little punks to think I'm mad. Y'all niggas is ninja turtles.
Yeah.
We gon' beat you nothing.
Yeah.
We gon' beat nothing.
Yeah.
You not on my level. I will beat your boss ass, nigga. Trey Little, lean on.
Trey Little, the baby gorilla. I'm just that guy. I'm 5'6", God, stack live, shit that high. I'm riding. Fuck you and your commercial appeal. I turn your head into blue and yellow purple heels. I bet you whatever that nobody beats my family. Eminem, Nelly said that he'll eat you like candy. And what did you do? Got on the phone and called him up. You don't wanna talk to Royce, you'll talk to Puff. You, yo, for hoes. I hit you harder than that white girl that broke your nose. You and Roy can squat this with one talk. Step around from your security and talk to that man. I understand you back in your crew, but this my brother. Anything happen to him, something gon' happen to you. And I don't give a fuck for that nigga, I do life. Five five. Stop, your money don't buy you stripes. Only thing that money brings is fake niggas and problems. Followed by niggas who hate fake niggas and robbers. But you niggas whack. Denying I'ma stab you so many times. I'ma feel bad when you collapse. You niggas so bitch, you make me sick to my stomach. Every beat that you ever made sound like a dismissal song. Timberland looking ass, nigga, my style is realer. What producer you ever know only good for album fillers?
You be, yeah, punk ass niggas. Yeah, we in the streets, not two niggas.
Yeah. Add one of stir ass motherfuckers. But y'all thought my brother ain't had no backbone. Niggas on when I see y'all. Proof, what the fuck you thinking of? Nigga, this cash, boy. Need a white boy to get y'all started ass niggas. Fuck y'all hoes. I told Race I ain't like that motherfucker faggot. I smack the shit out any one of y'all niggas. 7 mile bet one, nigga. What the fuck y'all thought? Nigga, y'all to get bought, bitch. Street orientated. Y'all motherfuckers hated. Learn how to flow, stop being mad, y'all bitches. Trick, trick when I catch your bitch ass, yeah, dude. Ask about cash, nigga. You coming to your doom, you gon' end up like click, boom, bitch. Rock City, motherfucker. Regardless, get the point, bitch. Or get the hollows, motherfucker. This cash flow, bitch. Big homie, big homie.
Yeah, son. All right, yo, I received a message today, more or less, the homie, to check out Joker's Facebook. So I did. And crazy, man. It's really crazy because I didn't really see this coming. Honestly, not that I just know the dude personally and like know what's going on in his mind and stuff, but I know, you know, he's been kind of in and out with, you know, what was going on with CZW, and I know he's definitely he doesn't take any shit. You know, he doesn't have any, you know, problem with telling people how he feels, but he's a really strong dude, so he definitely does whatever he wants to do. And, I mean, I'm just sad to hear it, but to sum it up, Joker's retiring as of right now. He's, or at least stopped wrestling and cutting ties with CZW. I'll read exactly what he said he put out there. This is Joker's Facebook. He says, and I quote, "I have decided to stop wrestling and cut ties with CZW as of yesterday. But honestly, the thought has been brewing for months. Until I just said, fuck it. I'm happy where my life is and journeys I have taken. There are things that now need my undivided attention more than ever, and I do not want to waste my time at a show that I don't want to be at. I do not want to be at. I used to have fun until I had enough of the bullshit that one can only stand before you put a bullet in somebody, especially one that is supposed to be your boy. That fuck gets one in the face. Honestly, and respect is long and gone with the business, and true bitches emerge to take the ranks. I never would have thought it would have came down to this, but better now than later. I would like to thank all my boys, brothers, for really supporting me through all these years. My brother G's, we've been through a lot and wanted more, but I have to throw in a towel this time and watch you rise above the rest. The staffs at CZW, other promotions I've worked for, without you guys, shows would not happen. And to all my fans, thank you for your supporting and following me." So that was his statement right there. Along with that, I had received message, you know, I'm not just going to put him out there like that, but, you know, received message through, you know, someone close to Joker that, He would like to come on and get some shit off his chest. So hopefully next week Joker will be on my show, and he'll let all y'all know exactly, you know, how he feels and what maybe went down. And you know, I look forward to hearing it, because I always really enjoyed his work in the ring. He's always a extremely hardworking dude, I said he kind of just did everything he wanted to do. If he wanted to do death matches, he went and did it. And he didn't need to fucking do them, you know, for 6 months. You seen the first death match Joker did was fucking a banger. I mean, like, him and Zandig went in there and just fucking killed it. I mean, he's able to just go do what he wanted to do. He went overseas, you know, in the military, just did what the fuck he wanted to do. He just represented. He wanted to come back into wrestling and did what he wanted to do. He wanted to go strong style with anybody in the business. He did what he wanted to do. And I mean, like, so I've always respected the dude. I know, you know, whatever decision he makes is the best thing for himself. And, you know, I just look forward to hearing, you know, what his story on the whole thing is. And, you know, maybe he'll be able to, you know, reach a couple more of his fans that maybe aren't on his Facebook, or wherever the case may be, for him to, you know, just shout everybody out. Yeah, and maybe even get more personal about the people that he does want to give credit to and does want to, you know, maybe people behind the scenes or wherever that don't get enough credit, and he wants to put something out there. And, you know, anything on his chest he's got negativity-wise or whatever, it's up to him. He can come on here, he could air what he wants, he could do exactly what he wants, and I'm sure he will do so if he does come on. To the best of my knowledge, we're looking at next week, and I hope it does come through. So that's what that is. So much respect, Joker, and that's that. Let me see. What do I want to get into? It's kind of about 10 minutes till. Let me tell you a story from my work, because I did one of these last week, and then some more stupid shit happened. See, everybody knows I work at an animal shelter / zoo. So I go on lunch, right, and I go out there with my camera, and I'm just going to take some pictures of animals and stuff like that. I get over around to the one tiger around the back. It's kind of a dead day because, you know, during the week, you know, the kids are back in school and stuff, so there's not a lot of people in the zoo, so pretty dead. I'm just walking around, chilling, you know, taking pictures of animals, whatever. I get around back to where one of our tigers are, and as soon as I go over there, I see something's up, and he's playing with a goose that had landed in his pond, and he's, like, really toying with it. And I look over, and there's customers standing there. And I look over at them as I look at the cage, and I'm like, yo. And the goose is holding its own. Like, I look over at them, and they're like, yeah, they've been at it for, like, 45 minutes now. I'm like, what the fuck? So I'm like, shit. So I yelled at him once or twice, yelled his name at him, and he looked at me like, yo, what's up, man? And then looked right back at the pool like, yo, I got some shit going on over here. Check it out. And, like, he'd stalk up on the goose, and he'd get in there and maybe start to take a swipe at him, and then the goose would, like, throw his wings up and shit, and he'd like, leap backwards out of the pool. It was pretty funny for what it was because, you know, the goose was holding his shit. And if the thing is, I mean, this goose held his shit for 45 minutes against a goddamn tiger. So now I run off to go get somebody, because shit, man, this goose been holding his shit fucking 45 minutes. So I'm just like, yo, what the fuck? These cats have just been standing here watching this shit for fucking 45 minutes. And never had enough respect for this fucking bird to be like, yo, he's fucking holding his own against a fucking tiger. Let me go get somebody, goddammit. So that never happened. And then I go get somebody. After a lot of coercing and stuff, they were able to get the tiger inside, and, you know, it was rough to get him in, too, because, shit, you don't want no parts of stopping doing what he's doing. He's got the coolest shit in the world in this cage. So they end up getting him inside, they end up getting the goose, and turns out that, the goose only had two small punctures, like, under his wing, and he's actually going to be fine. So this fucking goose, you know, Canada goose, just was flying through the sky, seeing a pool down there. It was like, oh, water, sweet, fucking landed in there. Fucking tiger runs up on him, and he battles him for 45 fucking minutes and fucking lives. It's just amazing. And I call him Zeus the Goose. Once they release him, I ain't going to be able to tell him from any other goose because he's really kind of unscathed. But I'm just like, yo, like, that's fucking crazy. They got him out of there like that, and he you know, came out of that shit like that. But that's fucked up. People are just going to sit there and watch that shit and not try to help him out, you know? And I mean, just to show you, I mean, it's generally not that easy. The day before that, our lioness got two geese in like 10 minutes. There was nothing they could do. Like, they landed in there, like one landed in there, wham, she fucking nailed them over, like seconds. Like, within a minute, another one landed, bam, over. Like, that's what I'm saying. So, it is not that easy. And, I mean, I just give the goose a lot of credit. Obviously, the tiger wasn't, he was more into playing and toying and stuff, but he was, you know, spooked off when the goose put up his shit. So, you know, it was just something else, man. But to see people like, yeah, I'm going to go to the zoo to see animals today, and then they watch something like that for 45 minutes without getting somebody? Come on, man. Were you just, like, really wanting to see something happen? Like, the end happen? Like, come on. That shit is stupid. I mean, it was, you know, entertaining for, you know, a minute or two just to see, you know, once they got in there and started trying to back off the tiger because, you know, Goose is just doing his thing. I was just like, man, but 45 minutes, that's a long time to not feel bad about that shit at all. And I mean, like I said, I mean, there's some, like, goose lands into the a goose or a peacock, and, like, we got a lot of birds and stuff around here. One lands in one of the cat dens and boom, over. Like, so what are you going to do? I mean, you couldn't stop that if you tried. But, you know, he's in there and he's holding on and shit. Can we, you know what I mean, try to avert that? Or, I don't know. People are stupid as shit. I really can't stand people. I'm an animal dude. And again, it is what it is if that's how it goes. But you sit there and watch that shit for all that goddamn time. Some people need to be in that bitch instead of the goose, you know? So, yeah, so my dude should be calling in any minute. Talk to him for a minute. Like I said, I'm going to run down the CZW show, the stuff that's going on with WWE. I got some stuff to talk about that. I watched a couple shoot interviews this week, and I want to give you guys a little, you know, a little rundown on those a little bit, you know? A little promotion for those because I enjoyed the shoot interviews I did watch. And, hopefully David will be on in any minute. And we'll do that. You know what? All right. I'm going to play another track. And then I'd imagine David will probably be on hold by the time this track's over. And then we'll do that. All right. Check the track.
Going way back like just sight, and don't think twice because I'm nice. I come from the mothership unknown to man with a blunt in my hand, a mic in the other hand. Goddamn, I slam my jam like this. Showing up, my rap style is cold crust. And plus, I tear the roof off the mother sucker, my brother. Fly shit that makes Stevie wonder. Hey, who can it be now? For that, it's the Eli and 3D with Keith and R.E.D. I get down for my troops. And I get it like Luke. For those who don't believe my skills, get these. I got mad expertise for all you duck and seize. I'm funky like G-Thing, my nigga. I wanna know who's up in here before I pull the trigger.
New York up in here, hell yeah. It's Death Squad up in here, hell yeah. It's NJ up in here.
Like Trapper, John MD got 9 millis made of lacquer. Count Dracula, back with the toe top with the. Get biz like Mark Cuban, injected like Maximus. My style sicker than a
I kick methods like man. Computerized RoboCop sounds, I drop a sequence. Fuck you to death, so act that old bitch with the beef with. When I do them, I glue them, stick them like Patrick Ewing. My shit bust like Puerto Rican people move. Next door, I get the roar with the 4-1-1-1, cause I get the red hot. Pop, 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 don't knock the spot, catch a bruiser. My style gets me stuck like 50 Moosa. You hang on strings like Lucy. With my hands on the knife, watch a nugget bitch, I get busy with mine. How's that?
Cause I get busy with mine.
How's that?
Cause I get busy with mine.
How's that?
Cause I get busy with mine.
How's that?
Cause I get busy with mine. Keep
my. I come rolling in when the C-Lino flow. Never before I'm the gun except before another foe.
Yeah.
I'm naive between the sleeves of the sheep. Murder it. Who's never trying to fuck with me?
Yeah.
Murray word is called, gets it on. And ready to blow any nigga out the cypher, Uncle Sniper, Hyperdorn. Long live death to the squad. And we smoking everybody out there. Shit, it ain't that hard. I bring classic drama like a full of drama. Have your mama bang bombing bars for your kidneys tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
My murder is the princess, E-Dub. Make hard fuck beats that I become part of.
Like
when I be like, A-I-O-U or battle. Niggas be like, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Like Night Owl. The most beautifulest thing in this world as I shit it. And y'all was with it, dig it.
Yeah. So, we're back. And I have on the line right now my friend, David Long. And I do want to talk to him about a few things. Dave.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, my man?
Not much, brother. Just relaxing on my rest day.
Cool, cool. Well, you know, I don't think many people, you know, my audience know you or anything like that. So I kind of want to get into some of your story. And, you know, I know you're huge on the fitness and everything like that. Maybe, I mean, give us a little backtrack or where you were at before you got into this and then how you got into it and go with that.
All right. Sounds good. Well, this all started last June. I weighed 272 pounds. Buddy of mine was like, yo, have you ever heard of something called the Spartan race? I'm like, being a smartass, I'm like, oh, do I run around the neighborhood kicking shit? And he's like, no, check him here and check out the website. So I checked it out, and it's like, I'm looking at it, and I'm just seeing, like, you know, it was like kind of dramatic music was playing or the video, and I'm sitting there, and there's these people running, and it's just like, and they're saying, today I am a Spartan, today I am a Spartan. I'm like, you know what? I want to try that. So I went around on the internet and asking people and doing research and whatnot. And, well, let's put it this way. The next day I made it a conscious effort to quit smoking cigarettes, quit drinking, quit smoking weed, and started working up my backyard the next day. And ever since, it's been over a year. I haven't touched any of those things, and I've been living clean and working out 6-7
now,
days a week ever since.
Were you working out like a lot before that, or was it just
no? No, I mean, I got out of the army in 2002 and I got married and I just let myself go.
Right. Wow. So you at that time you were weighing what? Were you weighing when you
272.
Wow. So where are you at now? Just skip ahead.
I'm at 190, and I've been at 190 for about 2 months now. I got down to 186 when my goal was to 200, and 186 was, like, a little too lean for me. I mean, I was looking kind of gaunt in the face, like, so I was just like, I want to put on 10 pounds of muscle, and so I started doing that. I started training with this lady I seen at the gym and her son, and they've constantly, you know, pushed me to go as far as I can go, and last week, I put up 320 pounds on the bench. I got my squat at 300 pounds and my deadlift at 315. So it's like, I never thought I'd be able to lift that kind of weight, you know?
So you're talking just over a year that's where you put yourself?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's pretty crazy. So you went and did that Spartan race?
I did. Not the one I initially signed up for, because that's next month.
Okay.
1 month from today, actually. I did the Spartan race in Laurel, Indiana in April, and at that time it was 29 degrees outside and 4 miles, brutal obstacles, and it was constantly water everywhere, so it's like no matter what, and if you weren't in water, you were running like uphill at a 90 degree angle, And I can't even call the stuff mud because it was like wet, slick, stinky clay. And I got to meet a lot of the other Spartans who inspired me to keep pushing further. And a pro wrestler by the name of Christian Hamey met me out there and ran with me.
So Christian Hamey, yeah, from, I know where.
IWA Deep South and
right.
Seen him in IWA Mid-South and
Insanity Pro.
Yep.
Yep.
He's a real stand-up guy.
Nice. That's good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, how did that whole thing go? It was brutal, right?
Very. I mean, I from watching videos and seeing, videos of the obstacles and whatnot and hearing that if you cannot pass an obstacle, you have to do 30 burpees. Well, I'm like, I hate burpees.
What is that?
A burpee is basically like a squat thrust, but when you come back, you bring your knees back to your elbows, you spring up in the air, and then you come back down to like a prone position, you do a push-up. It's hard for me to explain.
Okay.
It's a brutal exercise. Let's put it that way.
Oh, wow. Crazy stuff. Well, what were the obstacles would you actually have to do, like, as an obstacle?
Lots of cargo nets, low crawling, under barbed wire, and it was like 500.
So you
feet
get you
wire.
Get tore the fuck up going under barbed wire and shit. Like,
yeah, buddy.
They just let people just get tore up.
Oh yeah, and I was kind of surprised I didn't walk out of there with a nice scar.
So they must have consent forms out the ass through that, huh?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you sign up online, when you register online, you have to click the box saying, "Hey, you know, you get hurt. That's your, you know, you're doing this on your own." Out of your own will, and if you get hurt, it's your own fault.
If he dies, he dies.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like you
Von Drago
and flavor too.
Wow. That's crazy stuff, man. So, what's up? The new Spartan one that you're going to go for now, what's the difference between that, the one you did, and that one? And, I mean, what are you heading into?
The one I'm doing now is called it's like the second stage of the Spartan race level. It's called the Super Spartan. It is 9 miles, over 20 obstacles. More brutal.
No, no. So same type of thing, but much longer type thing?
Yeah. Over this past weekend, they held the Spartan Beast and the Ultra Beast out in Vermont. The Beast is something like around 13, 15 miles of an obstacle course. And then the Ultra Beast is a marathon length obstacle course, which is marathon is 26.2 miles.
That's quite a truck, man.
And if you're feeling super froggy, they have the Spartan Death Race, which is a 48-hour event.
So I've heard, also the Tough Mudder and stuff like that. Have you done that type of thing?
No, I haven't. I know people who have, who've done. That's pretty much, you got guys who, play football or basketball or baseball. Then you have people who just do these obstacle course races, and it's, they do the Spartan races. They do Tough Mudder, Warrior Dash, the Rugged Maniac, and whatever, local obstacle course runs they have, people in their area have, so.
Are those a lighter version or a heavier version of what you're doing, or?
It's a lighter version.
Okay.
Everyone who's ran a Spartan race says that the Warrior Dash is easier, Tough Mudder is easier. However, with one aspect of the Tough Mudder, they have something called I've seen a video of it. You can look it up on YouTube. It's called a shock treatment or shock therapy, and it's like these little lines that come down and there's water underneath. So if you want to take a shortcut, you can go through it and get yourself electrocuted.
Sure.
You see people run through it and they get shocked and they stiffen up and just fall over.
Well, it's
I think I'll just go the long way. I don't like being electrocuted.
Yeah, I would imagine not. I mean, that's crazy stuff. I mean, I wish you luck in that. endeavors there. But, damn, that's quite some stuff you're putting yourself through. What keeps you motivated to do that type of stuff? Obviously, drinking and smoking and whatever else. I mean, obviously, it's a lot of hard stuff to kick. What actually motivates you to want to just fucking beat the shit out of your body. In a good way.
In a good way, yeah. I want to be better than I was yesterday. I want to be able to German suplex the 300-pound man if I absolutely have to, you know.
Just on the street?
Yeah, just, you know, in case he attacks me or my family.
Oh, okay. Well, at least you have a plan of attack.
Yeah. No one expects a German suplex.
Yeah, usually not. It'd make good video if it happened in, like, a mall or somewhere with surveillance cameras.
Oh, definitely.
You just fucking scooping up some giant dude and dropping him on his head in the middle of a mall would be pretty classic, I think.
That would. Instant classic.
So, you're obviously also a wrestling fan.
Yes.
What's some of the stuff you're into and, you know, you like and that type of stuff?
Such as promotions and whatnot?
Yeah, yeah. Like, what, you know, what would be your key demographic of what you're into and stuff?
Lucha Libre is, like, one of my favorites, and then Deathmatch being second.
Okay.
My favorite promotion is Chikara, and then followed by CZW, then Big Japan.
Okay.
And I just started getting into the WXW. I'm really enjoying, like, watching the videos, and I like how it's kind of like the PWG, and they're just kind of, like, right there around the ring.
Yeah, yeah.
Seems like a good time.
Yeah, a lot of the Canada guys do that, too. They were doing it back, PWS and Ro Generico and all those guys came from. They did the when I was watching them in, like 02, something like that. When I first started seeing all that stuff and I got all the IWS and the EWR, like all the Canada promotions, it was same thing. I was like, how are they not getting their hands stomped in? Just guys running the ropes. I was like, holy shit, man, this is something else. I mean, these guys are right on the apron. I'm like, this is crazy stuff. They could sweep the leg. Like, these Americans are too big of assholes to be right on the apron. There's no way people wouldn't get their legs cut out.
I know. I mean, we have a little promotion here called FCW. It stands for Frontier Championship Wrestling. And we're big fans. And, you know, you got some big names that go there, like Paulie Tomaselli from the Iron Saints. Mickey Knuckles has been there. Jesse Bell, Smothers.
Which Tomaselli?
Paulie Tomaselli.
That was Brandon, right?
Yeah.
And he converted to, I guess that's his real name?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. Keeping the case.
Okay.
Bucky Collins, who wrestles in IWE Mid-South and Dreamwave. Another one is Ryan Phoenix, also known as Waylon Beers. And it's, they put on a good show for being a small promotion. Definitely good time, yeah.
Sure. What are some of, like, the recent, you know, stuff that you've watched? You know, maybe, you know, some opinions on some of the recent DVDs you've watched. Any federation that you actually liked?
It's kind of odd. I really don't know what to say about it. I mean, I've been watching a lot of the WXW, and I just watched TOD versus Gorefest, finished that up yesterday, and that was just, in my opinion, a whole card, a whole show was amazing. It was great seeing, like, you know, just the CZW guys and then the German guys and then seeing TJ, you know, Thumbtack Jack come in the ring, and, you know, for though I can't understand German, you know, and he had an emotional exchange with a wrestler named Two-Face. And it was just more heartfelt, I guess. You know, it didn't seem rushed or bullshitted. It wasn't like a work, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, who's your opinion on the best deathmatch wrestler out there? Or, you know, top three or so?
Top three deathmatch wrestlers? Oh, crap.
Yeah.
Jun Kasai, number one.
Nice.
Crazy Monkey all the way. Masada. And then it's kind of tied from down there. It's, you know, like Jackie Numazawa, and then Danny Havoc. JC Bailey will always be, like, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
So, like, being a smaller built guy, I mean, it's like he carried himself like a 250-pound, you know, behemoth.
Sure.
Full, you know, just full of confidence and all that. And he's greatly missed by not only me, but a lot of people, so.
Oh, of course. Of course.
I'm watching Matt Tremont, too. He's for a big dude.
New school. He's definitely part of the future of deathmatch wrestling. But he
definitely
To a certain extent, man, because he's got to fucking pump his brakes a little bit, or it ain't gonna be a long future for what he's doing. Because if you see that that Tangled Web match that I actually just I just got, you know, to be able to watch in its entirety, and he took some suicidal fucking bumps in that match, man.
Oh yeah, I mean, that's on cue for me to watch next. And it just what those guys do is amazing, just for solid art entertainment, you know. And it just, you know, I made a statement about it in a group about, you know, watching Japanese deathmatch wrestling as opposed to American deathmatch wrestling. And then, you know, watching the old stuff, like the old, you know, BJW stuff when Zandig and Whitebeater and Nick Mondo were over there. It was like they actually wrestled in the crap. And then it was like some of the early deathmatch stuff here. It's kind of like these guys are just like punching and kicking each other and just breaking stuff over each, you know, their heads. And it's just like there's really no rhyme, no reason to it. Just bleeding for the sake of bleeding.
Yeah, you mean like a lot of Ian Rottenish stuff?
Yeah, I didn't want to say any names.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, he actually did do a lot of good things over there as far as, you know, a mix of the hybrid stuff. But there was that big group of people who were just out of shape and just swinging shit at each other's heads. But I don't know. It's hard. It's obviously a hard thing to come by is find an athlete that also wants to immerse himself in that thing. I mean, I got to give a ton of credit to another guy, Drake Younger.
Drake, yeah.
I mean, he's another guy that's got to wind up in that list. Even the Necro Butcher, you know, as much of like a, you know, bumbling, you know, redneck as he came off as, he was a very smart guy as far as wrestling went and really incorporated a lot of smart stuff into his matches. So.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I mean,
and Toby and.
Yeah, especially Toby. They had some awesome matches, and those were two guys, Necro and Toby, that I believe, you know, should. If wrestling still had the territories, you know, they would have their own territory. They have the ring psychology and, you know, the wherewithal and know-it-all to, you know, make it happen.
Nick Gage was another guy, honestly, that, I mean, the amount of stuff that he did, you know, I mean, of course, robbing the bank was probably his worst spot. But other than that, I mean, he put on some pretty severe deathmatch stuff and took a lot and... Yeah, definitely put on some really, really good stuff. I was always a fan of him.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I said early CZW days, it was like, you know, like Zandig, Whitebeater Lobo, and Nick Gage, and it's just like, you see them, man, and you're like, these guys aren't going to live very long.
Yeah.
You know, they're still around today doing it. Well, aside Nick Gage is obviously in jail, and I hope he gets better and gets the help he needs.
Right, definitely. He needs to come out and be, you know, hang around a different crowd, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah. You know, definitely had his demons. So, but Nick was always a ton of fun to watch. Another guy,
I just
Miyamoto.
Like
huh?
I just like Nick Gage's attitude. He's like, fuck them all. I'm on top. Think about it. This is like one of those guys you see in a bar that you give a wide berth to, you know.
I mean, he was just a fantastic dude. Like, I'd seen him actually, like, I'd see him monthly at CZW, and we'd bullshit in the back and have a beer or whatever. And, like, he was just a really cool dude to just, like, hang with and, like, party with or whatever. But, like, I've even seen him at, like, a Force One show. And I think I only went to one Force One show. But he's seen me, and it's a smaller crowd. It was kind of like a little more of a, you know, just a smaller, tight crowd. And they ran a different type of thing, but, you know, I enjoyed the product. And it was just funny seeing Nick on that because, you know, it was really kind of a family-oriented thing. So they'd run some decently hardcore stuff, you know, some hard-hitting wrestling. But they didn't come out there and say, you fucking pussy, every 15 minutes. So, like, hearing Nick Gage keep his commentary or his speech PG is one of the funniest things ever. It's just like, you stupid jerk.
I,
like,
pictured in my head.
Oh, man. And then as soon as he sees me ringside, J-Cat! I'm like, holy shit. Oh, it's just funny. Nick was just one of those dudes. He would always recognize you as a fan that was there all the time. He'd always pay attention to you, was not the guy to brush you off. Obviously had his issues, but he would turn into the guy that no one could come near in the ring. Like, it was the two sides of Nick Gage, you know. And,
right.
Just always an enjoyable guy to be around or watch in the ring, so.
Definitely. I mean, it was the first time, you know, seeing Nick Gage. I remember seeing him do a choke breaker. I'm like, what? What was that?
Yeah, good stuff.
Definitely.
So, I mean, what is some of, now I know top wrestlers ever is ridiculously difficult, but, yeah, I mean, who were some of the most entertaining wrestlers, just straight wrestling-wise, that, you know, you watch and enjoy?
Are we talking about the Fed or just in general?
Just in general, whether it be there or whether it be on the indies. I mean,
on the indies, I like Tim Donst.
Tim Donst. That's the first name out of your mouth. Tim Donst.
Yeah.
All right.
Tim Donst. I mean, he's a well-rounded wrestler. And then just think about it. He's a mad tactician. He's got the ring psychology down for a young guy. He's always good to watch in a ring. And I'm a big fan.
Oh. Oh, all right.
And, you know, you got like Ultra Mantis Black from Chikara, who is always a blast to see in a ring.
Mm-hmm. Then, yeah, he's a good.
Like, you know, one of the top, like, workers, I think. I've seen one of the greatest matches ever in August up in Milwaukee with Chikara. It was the main event. It was Mike Quackenbush versus Colt Cabana. And I didn't know what to expect going into the match, if it was going to be a comedy match or if it was going to be a high-flying match. But both are practitioners of the catch-as-catch-can style wrestling. And that's
right.
Pretty much what it was. It was just like a clinic. It was just amazing to watch. Hold for hold, I'm like, you know, my eyes are shooting back and forth. I'm like, wow. And then I was first, you know, seeing something like that for the first time in front of you as opposed to watching it on DVD. It's amazing.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like the way Mike Quackenbush moves. It's like flawless. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like you see some guys who can just flow through a match.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's definitely got down what he does. You know, he's definitely pretty fluent in what he does.
Well,
that's cool, man. What do you like in the E, so to speak? Or what they're doing now, at least.
It's hard for me to follow now.
Yeah, me too. I do a weekly show, and I'm just like, yeah, I barely watched it. Here's what I liked.
So. You know, I'm glad they're getting more of the indie guys in. You know, like, obviously,
yeah.
I was stoked when CM Punk went in, because I was always a big fan of his from ROH and whatnot. And then the same with Brian Danielson, and then, you know, they got Claudio and Chris Hero there now, and Sarah Del Rey and Tyler Black. And
yeah, Punk. You know,
yeah, Pac, and then Brody Lee's there now.
I actually just heard, because I watched the Chris Hero shoot, which everybody should definitely check out. I'm going to tell a couple of little things from that a little later, but it's actually Pac. Pac is actually the pronunciation, but when it came over to America, everybody looked at it as Pac, and he said, whatever, as long as they're chanting my name, I'm fine with it. But it was something, I forget the exact quote, but it was something like six-pack something or something, because he had the crazy abs and everything.
Right.
And it became like part of, or eight-pack or whatever he had, it was something revolving Pac over there, and then that was like his name, it's like Pac. But as soon as people saw that over here, it was like, shit, we got Tupac, we got X-Pac, we got all these Pacs. Like, yeah, that's clearly Pac. So he's just like, what? I'm not going to argue with the fans. I just let them do what they're going to do. But that's funny, because I never heard that before. But Hero, he did a fantastic interview. It was like at least 6 hours, man. It was
wow.
It was crazy. He went through everything from the Chikara stuff to the
the CCW stuff, IWA Mid-South, PWG. Like, he went in depth. It was really, really good. But, yeah, it was one of the things I learned when you said, or I said Pac, and then I remembered it after I said it. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I just did hear that for the first time ever. That it was supposed to be Pac. So it's funny because if you chanted that amongst the crowd yelling Pac, they'd be like, what are you, an idiot? You just seen this guy for the first time or what? And you're like, you're actually, you're the only one that's right. So, yeah. Good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, anything else you want to throw out there or, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to pander out there. I'm going to say, should any of you deathmatch wrestlers be listening, I'm looking to represent any one of you guys in my Spartan race. So if you want to throw me a shirt to wear during my race, I'll be more than happy to accept it and represent, you know, all my passions with my other passion. But,
when is your race?
October 27th.
Hmm. Okay. I am I gotta look in my closet before I make you any promises. But I am well over my limit of T-shirts, and I frequented the CZW merch table for a couple years in a row. So I may be able to help you. I'm not quite positive. I gotta get back to you on that. But many of wrestler shirts that I may just, you know, donate one or so. So, but yes, I will get back to you on that, my friend. And, yeah, thanks for coming on, dude. Anytime you're willing to come on, you're more than welcome. Come on and just chat, whatever I'm talking about, or you got some random thing on your mind, come on, spit it out, man.
Oh, excellent, dude. I look forward to it.
Awesome.
All right, brother.
All right, yeah, so thanks for coming on, man. Good night.
Good night, bro.
All right. Yeah, so that's my dude, David Long. Good dude, super humble guy. I mean, he busts his ass. It's some of the shit you see him posting about the weights he's lifting, I'm like, Jesus Christ. He's just, he's something else, you know? He does his damn thing. I got a text before, and I got to figure out. I got to talk to somebody who knows about fucking phones, because I have no idea how to look at texts while I'm already on the phone. It's just like beep, and I'm like, oh, fantastic. That's something I won't read until I'm off this thing. So I have no idea. You know, and I don't know. Like I said, I'll see, because, you know, I'm hard with parting with things. Obviously, that's why I have so many T-shirts. But if I can't help them, we'll see, okay? We'll see. So, you know, is what it is. I'm guessing I'm going to take another break, because I have 4 songs tonight, so I figure, yeah, fucking throw another one. Take a longer, shorter, yeah, I'll take the longer break now, and then another shorter one later. Why not? I got the track, so let's do this, and I'll be back in a couple minutes. An old school track that I like quite a bit.
Fat bomb, suck the please. Yo.
Yeah. I gotta just bear with me. I gotta turn the fucking air on this bitch. It's hot than a motherfucker, and then people don't seem to get it. They just think that it's just good. That's why my dog keeps trying to leave the fucking room every time the door opens, because it's hot than a motherfucker in here. And it was like, all right, we just turn the fan on in the window, and like, no, it's fucking hot. It's not good inside. It might be cool outside, but with one window open and no cross ventilation, it's hot than a motherfucker in here. So I have to fucking open or close the window, I should say, and put on the air. Job done. Back to business. So anyway, like I was talking about the hero shoot, I liked it. I liked it a lot. And so what I did like about that is he had a very, very vivid memory, very descriptive memory on the different things he's done in the business and matches he's worked. And he seems to remember everything. I mean, he really had a very, very vivid memory of things he's been across. You know, he talked very fair about people for the most part. There was probably two people that he didn't like. And, hearing other stories and stuff like that, and he got into his exacts. Again, he was descriptive. He wasn't just like, that guy's a fucking asshole. Next story. Like, no, he went into detail on why he didn't like these fucking people, and to me it made sense. Kingston was a guy who everybody, including Kingston, painted the picture that him and Hero fucking hated each other. He had nothing but good shit to say about Kingston. Said, we've had our ups and downs. That's probably the worst shit he said about Kingston. Yeah, we've had our ups and downs, but we put on great matches together. We have great chemistry. We really know how to go in there and put on a, that's how he put fucking him out there. Like, it just wasn't. There was no just like, I'm going to bash him because there's something that happened. Like, no, he was fine. Now, a dude he cannot fucking stand. And the reason he left CZW, which I didn't know, was Justice Payne. And, he broke it down through a couple of things and said completely Justice Payne was a completely unprofessional. He quoted as being the worst wrestler I've ever worked, which, wow. I mean, he's like, there's been people who were less technically sound than Justice Payne, but between his attitude and the way his lack of being able to put together a match, he's the worst wrestler I've ever worked in the ring. And like, he really just put it across there and told several stories on what the end of his CCW run became, and he pretty much booked that loser leave CCW match because he wanted out and just said, fuck it, this is what's going down, and yeah, I'm going to do the job, and that's it. And, he said the Justice Payne thing came from a couple of matches, but kind of the culmination towards the end was when Justice Payne, Chris Hero, and Eddie Kingston worked at three-way, which I believe was a cage of death, and Eddie Kingston broke his ankle. Eddie kept trying to go. He stood up on his shit. It, like, broke again, and he couldn't go. Justice Payne immediately fucking grabbed his leg and was going to go for a submission on the leg he just broke his ankle. Now, instead of doing it in a worked way, Hero said, because I'm not a wrestler, so I don't know this, but if you look back at it, that's what happened. He was going for a submission on that leg, and as soon as he grabbed that foot, Kingston didn't trust him for shit. For 2 seconds, for him to even put the hold on, he tapped out before the hold was even locked in, because he didn't trust Justice Payne torquing his now severely broken ankle, which has got to be a pretty sensitive thing when it comes down to something like that. So that's what happened there. And then
He said Justice Payne immediately panicked and ran up to Hero because apparently he had a ton of false finishes planned with Eddie Kingston for that match. Well, now Eddie Kingston's gone. He runs up to Hero. Oh, my God, we got to take it home. We got to take it home. And this is like a world title match for the fucking, you know, on Cage of Death. And Hero's like, no, dude, we don't need to take it home. We just settle down. We got this. And Hero's like, you know, I paid attention to a lot of the false finishes and stuff he had planned with Kingston. So, it's okay. Like, we'll make this work. And he was just panicking. And then they ended up getting through the match or whatever. But he was like, it was just so fucking unprofessional to see him freak out like that. And almost further hurt the guy when, you know, he was legit hurt. And he's like, that was fucked up. He's like, and then that turned into a me versus Justice Payne match because it was, you know, like a fucking thing. He's like, and then there was a point in the match where he was like, he was giving me like headbutts. He's like, and headbutts never bothered me. I was able to do them with Ian. I was able to do them with anybody, you know, like they shoot headbutt things. He's like, it never bothered me at all. So he gave me like 3 shoot headbutts and then like a forearm out of nowhere that completely like torqued my neck. And like, he's like, my one arm was like numb. Like I could barely move my arm and shit. Cause he just snuck me with a forearm in the side of the head, which didn't hurt my head. It just torqued my neck. So I could barely fucking move. He's like, and it was just out of nowhere. There was no call to it. There was no reason behind it. He was just like, headbutt, fucking forearm. Like, he's like, so he was like, I was shocked by that. And it was just like bullshit. So I had to like work myself through that. He's like, then there was a point in the match where I was in the corner. Or no, he was in the corner. And I came in on him like I was going to, you know, put boots on him or whatever. He's like, and he grabbed me by my fucking tights and my fucking shirt. And just fucking launched me through the ropes where there was nothing I could do. Like, he's like, he's a strong dude. He's like, so it was so fast and severe that it shot me directly to the fucking concrete. And I just landed on my fucking head. And he's like, it fucking hurt a lot. Fucking a lot. He's like, when I hit that fucking thing, I'm like, fucking why? Why is my life going like this? Like, it's just like, this is fucking, I don't know why I'm doing any of this at all. Like, it was just fucked up. And he was like, it hurt a lot. He's like, that was like pretty much like after that, he was like, I just had this feeling like, yo, fuck all of this. And like after the match, I think he said something about Blackout jumping him. And then he, you know, cut the promo or something saying about, you know, Eddie Kingston and, you know, CZW's not big enough for the both of us, and, you know, fucking loser leaves CZW, blah, blah, something like that. And then he's like, he already made his decision there. And then the final straw to him where he already knew he was leaving and he was happy that he was, is when they did the match that was Justice Payne versus Nick Gage. And it was supposed to be a real big match again. And they went in the ring and they started doing shit. And normally, and I could vouch for this, normally Justice Payne and Nick Gage, oh my God, did they fucking work well together. Like, you didn't never seen that amount of technical ability out of Nick Gage other than when he actually worked Justice Payne. And Justice Payne wasn't that technically fast as when he worked with Nick Gage. But for some reason, brother, you know, the brother connection, whatever it was, and because they've been working together since 99, they would just like snap roll through on shit, like quick fucking sprinting rope shit, like stuff you really didn't see out of the two of these as much, because it took a lot of chemistry to pull it off well. And normally it was really, really well. You go back to the This Time It's Personal match, great fucking match. That was like 2002, one of their early like New Alhambra, Viking Hall, CZW Arena, Asylum, fucking what, you know, that joint. That shit. Great fucking match. Fantastic stuff. I mean, just about every time you saw them in there, they had another like 2 out of 3 falls match that was fucking awesome, where you fucking like choke breakered them into submission. Like, just great shit they worked in the past. This was supposed to be another one of those. And they started out and just nothing was clicking. And I guess Justice Payne got like frustrated or something, went for the Pain Thriller, but
and like Hero said, he didn't even fall with them. Like, he just spiked them on his fucking head, neck, and shoulders. And he's like, for anyone to do that to anybody is fucked up. For you to do that to your brother? He's like, what fucking type of asshole is this? He's like, and then boom, Gage is out because of that. And he's like, part of me just fucking laughed, like, yeah, these guys fucked up. Yeah, yeah, good for them, fucking assholes. He's like, but then he's like, you know, I go to the back. He's like, and fucking Zandig's running around going, fuck, get your gear on. Somebody go out there. Da, 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 da. And he's like, fucking Drake Younger, who is just now starting to really turn the corner and get over in CZW and really, you know, hitting that point where they're trying to, you know, push him. You know, they're pushing him, and he hasn't really hit that full stride yet, but he's definitely over with the crowd, huge. And they just haven't taken that turn with him yet. He's not, like, world title. But they throw him right in there because of what happened. And he's like, you know, can somebody get out there? And he said Drake's just scrambling to put on his fucking gear. And he's got, like, his fucking Jordans on and, like, his shorts or whatever. And he's scrambling. He's getting his shit on. And fucking Hero just walks up to him. And he's like, Drake, just be careful, man. Because he knows what just happened in the ring. And he said Drake just said to him, Chris, I'm so scared, man. And then fucking, you know, Hero just, like, fucking pat him on the back and said, you know, just be careful, and just walked away. Fucking Drake goes in there, impromptu match, whatever, and Hero's like, you know, it wasn't even really a match. Justice Payne didn't give him shit for offense. And, I mean, somewhere around here, he started calling him nothing but that piece of shit, that piece of shit. Like, there was no more Justice Payne talk. It was like, and then that piece of shit, and, you know, that type of thing. So he goes, what happened was, like, the final straw was the razor's edge that he hit to the outside. And awesome bomb, whatever you want. He's like, and he explained it. He's like, you know, a lot of people might not understand that if they're not wrestlers, but this is what happens. He's like, when you have someone up in that razor's edge, awesome bomb type position, especially shooting it to the outside, you have to launch the guy forward. You have to push him forward. And Justice Payne being a strong guy as he is, he can definitely do it. But if you don't push him forward because their ass is up that high, like above your head, they're going to land on their fucking head, neck, and shoulders. And that's just like the gravity and the that's the velocity. It's the way that things are going to go down. So he's like, that you got to push him forward, especially drop him over the top rope. So he's like, this fucking piece of shit walks him over to the ropes and just drops him over the top rope without pushing him at all. He's like, this guy, Drake, makes a glancing blow on the back of the table and just lands on the fucking floor on his neck. And he's like, I threw my fucking soda off the wall. I said, this motherfucker. And he said, I just went in the back and I cursed at everybody that I could about what fucking bullshit this is and called this dude every name in the book. And, like, anyone who would listen to me, I fucking cursed about the situation up and down. He's like, and Drake is lucky he wasn't in a wheelchair off of that. Thank God Drake never got hurt. And Drake didn't take anywhere near the offense that he should have from that. He's like, but that fucking kid could be in a wheelchair off of what the fuck he took there, because Payne didn't protect him at all. And, like, he was just livid. He was like, I'm so glad I made the decision to leave this fucking place and this and that. And then he went into the whole, you know, the final match. So it just, yeah, with him and Kingston, it was really good. Like, he really went into some deep shit. He said about his low-key experience. And, you know, that was a really entertaining thing with the impressions and all. And him and low-key got into it couple times, and Loki just kicked him square in the face over some, just like, kind of randomly. Loki caught offense to something that Chris thought he shouldn't have caught offense to, and even with Chris, like, you know, really trying to be careful. You know, this is all according to Chris, but, you know, it all sounded legit to me. And Loki just kicked him, like, square in the fucking bridge of the nose and, like, fucking opened a vagina on his nose, and, you know, he just, and Loki was just completely, like, fucking cold as fuck about it afterwards. And just, like, you know, just a ton of shit. I just thought it was a really good shoot. Like I said, it was a crazy long interview. This was, like, a best of type thing, but they didn't put any matches on it. They put like an old Smart Mark interview he did on it, which I actually didn't watch that one. But then they put the newer one on there, and that, like I said, was probably like a fucking close to 6 hour interview. Like it was fucking long. And he went in. He definitely went in, but he was really cool about a ton of shit. There was really those only two things that he was really negative on. Now, I don't want to go into the whole detail about the low-key shit. And there's more stuff he said about pain that you can definitely, you know, cop the DVD and, you know, get into about that. Because I think everybody would enjoy it. He has a very detailed memory, and he's going to, you know, enlighten you on a lot of stuff you wouldn't have known just sitting there in the crowd. And I was there live for a lot of the stuff he was talking about. So it's pretty cool to get that other perspective and a dude to just be really honest about shit without just trying to bury everybody. But, you know, where he felt needed, he kind of did. But good stuff. Yeah, check out that Chris Hero shoot. That was good. Another shoot. The Balls Mahoney New Jack face-off. Man. Well, here's my thing on this. New Jack has always been a hugely entertaining dude to hear talk. He definitely goes out there. He says his piece. Nobody's going to fuck with him. He's going to say what he got to say. He doesn't give a fuck who feels what about it. That's New Jack. That's just New Jack. Everybody knows that's New Jack. So there's really no surprise out of how New Jack was. You know what I mean? Like, New Jack was normal New Jack. But then the other side of that was, now, and again, knowing New Jack being New Jack as a fan, Balls Mahoney, he's a train wreck. This fucking guy, he's definitely on the top of my death pool right now. This guy lost like 100 pounds from when he was, you know, everybody knows Balls Mahoney as like a bigger dude, chair swinging, fucking all of that. He looks like a melted candle right now, and he's just walking around like nothing happened. Like, nah, I just lost some weight, just haven't had so much to eat lately. And like, he just acts like all of this shit is like, this is all normal. Like, he's in such denial of what he's actually living like right now. And he made the mistake. He did a bunch of crazy shit in Florida, and he had some beef with New Jack, whatever the fuck. Or did something that New Jack wasn't cool with, or whatever the case is. You know what I mean? Like, I know all the stories, but I don't really give a fuck about, you know, detailing all of this. It's just, no, fucking going to New Jack's fucking history. He tried to, this guy in the ring, you know, he lied about his age, and then he said, do whatever, I want to get it hard way. So I cut him fucking ear to ear with a motherfucking, a can opener. Well, there's Mass Trended. Then the motherfucker killed himself. Fuck you and shit. That's New Jack. Fucking Gypsy Joe wouldn't go down, so I hit him in his head with a fucking aluminum bat. And then you heard, ding, and I thought that shit was funny. And then Crocodile Dundee, he tried to dump me. He wasn't listening, and I'm a vet, and he tried to pick me up. So I took a knife out my pocket about this big, and I stuck him, and I stuck him again, and I stuck him again. And the one time I stuck him, it got stuck and must have hit his bone or some shit. I mean, yeah, clearly New Jack's a fucking psychopath. There's no maybes about it. New Jack is a hilarious dude to listen to, but anybody who's an actual wrestler that wants to get in the fucking ring with him, unless you know you have a fucking personal agreement with this dude and you guys are on a fucking cool level, if you're some new young buck and you want to get in there with New Jack, you're out of your fucking mind and you might as well do that dumb shit like that one dude jumped in with the fucking tiger and broke his stupid fucking leg and all that shit. Do one of those joints because you're doing the same shit. And then New Jack's going to get on a video and make fun of you after stabbing the fucking shit out of you or cutting half your head off or hitting you in the fucking head with an aluminum bat. That's just what New Jack does. So when it comes down to this type of shit and he gets into the shit with Balls, and then Balls looks like a melted candle right now, and it looks like a strong wind to fuck his day up, and Balls goes on a fucking shoot and calls, drops the N-bomb at New Jack a whole bunch of times. The fuck you think is going to happen next? The fuck you think? So, of course, comes down to this face-off, and of course, Rob Feinstein doesn't exploit anybody. Gets these two motherfuckers in the fucking same building. What do you think is going to happen? Now, first off, it's funny because they preface it with, I told everybody, don't show up with anybody. Don't bring any weapons. Just show up by yourself, and we're just going to do the thing. So, first off, what does New Jack do? Shows up with fucking three people. Billy Rayo, Attu, that big-ass dude that fucking, that big steroid-ass dude that fucking low-key knocked the fuck out with a combo kick on the fucking Evolve show. And then some other little dude. I don't know what the fuck his name is. He shows up with these three people in his fucking truck. Balls, the melted candle, shows up with nobody. With nothing. They search these motherfuckers with a cop before they get in the building. Which, again, New Jack bitches at Rob for, because even though they told him we're going to search you, he's like, the fuck is this, Rob? And it's like, oh, okay. But New Jack still got a keychain with mace around his neck. This is the weird shit about New Jack. This is the shit that I don't really fully get about New Jack. This dude is bad as fuck. Like, I don't think anybody would, you know what I mean? Like, New Jack in his drawers with clearly no weapons on him. I don't think many people would be like, yeah, you know what? He ain't got shit on him. Let's get him. Like, nah, dude, he's a bad motherfucker. Who's going to go stop fucking with him? Why the fuck is he walking around with a keychain of mace on his neck with fucking Balls Mahoney by himself and fucking cop searches and three dudes with him? I just don't understand that fucking mentality. It's just fucking really weird to me. And then it goes down like that, and he's just scolding the shit out of fucking Balls, and ain't shit Balls could do. And and then Balls is trying to speak his shit, and he's just like, New Jack is more or less just like, Balls is like, listen, man, fucking, you know, I didn't do the shit you were saying. He's like, yes, the fuck you did. Yes, the fuck you did. And another thing, when you threw up in that ring, that was fucking heroin, bro. Don't tell me shit, that was fucking heroin. And he's like, that wasn't fucking heroin. No. Balls just looks like a pathetic fucking human, man. It's so sad. And he's like, yes, the fucking what? Don't tell me shit. You know what I mean? And then it's like, and then he says some shit like, you know, eventually he's like, you're a fucking fake. You're a fucking fake. You're a fraud. You ain't shit. And you're a fucking fake or some shit like that. And at some point, Balls is like, yeah, so are you. And that's when New Jack springs to his fucking feet. That's like 150 pounds fucking heavier than dude. And he starts shaking the mace around his neck. This is what the cops didn't get. I'll blind your motherfucking ass and then beat you up. Like, wait, what? Like, I already heard the story out of New Jack where he beat him up at the fucking the fucking ECW, whatever the fuck, which I didn't doubt, because if you look at New Jack and you look at Balls, you're like, that's a bad day for Balls. And then he's shaking fucking mace around his neck. I'll beat the shit out of you. And I was just like, yo, this is fucking weak, man. Like, what the fuck is going on? And then on top of that, fucking at some point or another in the story, I guess Atu's fucking opinion was needed. I don't even know why. Because, again, fucking low-key's fucking 180-pound ass knocked him the fuck out with one move. You know what I mean? And not saying that low-key's not talented or anything like that, but a little motherfucker knows how to fucking fight knocked you the fuck loopy. And now you need to be one of fucking four people to talk to one melted candle. The fuck? Get your motherfucking ass out here. You ain't shit in the business. Oh, yeah, you'll fuck somebody up on some untrained or on the street shit. But when you're talking to one fucking beaten man to back up another dude that's already got it, get your motherfucking ass out of here. So this dude, at some point, he sits behind New Jack. And, you know, now he's fucking OG, triple OG. This motherfucker's Terry Crews and shit. He's sitting there behind fucking Ice Cube and shit. And he's like, and, you know, and Ball says something, and he just quick going, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. I'm like, no, first off, Balls has fucking some fucking cred in the business. You ain't got shit. Your biggest fucking thing was, like I said, getting your fucking face rocked by low-key. You are a fucking ECWA fucking worker where they have their motherfucking cameraman, the convicted sex offender cameraman and shit. And they run around, they do a little Super 8 and all that bullshit, all that little cute shit. And you run around in these little bullshit feds because nobody finds value in you. You got your face knocked off by low key. Huh. A lot of people might call that unprofessional by low key. Who'd they stop booking after that? Atu. That's funny. You must have a lot of value. So, yeah, I guess you're muscle. I guess you're another dude to throw in a truck to hurt somebody. But let's not have RF video. Let's not have Atu talk to wrestlers because Atu can't wrestle and no one gives a fuck about him in the wrestling business. This shit ain't had nothing to do with Atu. Billy Rail was in the fucking truck. He's got more fucking credibility than fucking Atu did. He didn't say fucking two words other than, you know, a couple words here and there while they were getting out of the truck and then while they were getting searched. And that was it. That's all you saw. That was it. And that was it. Atu's got some shit to say. Get your motherfucking ass off camera. It just, the whole thing was fucking sad because, again, Balls is going to die and then you're going to stop selling this video. You know what I mean? Like, or maybe you're not because, you know, you're just a money-hungry whore and, you know, you like little boys and all that, RF. But, you know, you're going to feel, no, you're not going to, other people are going to feel bad about purchasing this video. And people probably will stop purchasing this video. I think that's the proper terminology I was looking for. People will stop purchasing this video when Balls dies and then you hosted the 4-on-1 fucking Balls Mahoney fucking treat you like shit night in DJ's fucking ring because DJ was so proud of that he was tweeting and Facebooking and, oh, I'm at the New Jack fucking, I'm at the Balls New Jack face off, yeah, fucking CCW logo in the background. Another thing you won't be too proud of when fucking Balls is dead, right? Oh, let me also point out, you will never accomplish what Balls Mahoney has done in the ring in your fucking life, DJ. Thank you. And, you know, that's another little factoid that I'm just going to add to this because, you know, people are trying to be involved with this. People just want to pile on. People just want to be involved and have their name mentioned. And this is part of it. And then here's what me and CCW did. And like, shut up. Shut the fuck up. Let me find it. Wait. I need to find a thing. Oh, Jesus. I should have had it queued up, but I was walking around the ring while I was talking around the ring. Jesus Christ. See, when motherfuckers start hosting shoot interviews in a fucking ring, and then I'm just fucking talking, all of a sudden I start, yeah, I was walking around the ring. Oh, Jesus Christ, I ain't walking around no goddamn ring. I don't never walk around rings. I walk around in a circle. They call that shit a ring. All right. Anyway, what I was trying to say was,
hey, shut the fuck up.
So, yeah. This shit is retarded. Another one of those entertaining to people watching. Nobody in the business should be clapping for this shit, honestly. Like, if anyone's actually happy by the way the fucking Balls looks right now, I mean, it's fucking sad. It really is. And I never knew this dude to be a bad fucking dude. A bad dude, a hard person to get along with. If anything, out of those two dudes, I'd say New Jack probably caused more problems than Balls did in the locker rooms and in the ring and this and that. But again, we're talking entertainment on a mic, entertainment on a shoot interview. I got you. I'm with it. I enjoyed it. I really did. But I'm also looking at it as an overall, and I don't think that I don't think that shit is cute, man. And I just think, like, again, Rob Feinstein should really be ashamed of a lot of shit that he does. You know what I mean? Like, when you pay fucking little bum-ass Sonny and shit, or fucking Tammy, because Sonny's dead, fucking, you pay bum-ass Tammy, pay her fucking money while she's addicted to the shit, and she's about to go into the fucking rehab. You pay her fucking money and then ask her on the shoot. So I'm not exploiting you, right? I just want to make sure that, you know, you tell everybody that I'm not exploiting you. Right. So the bitch you just gave money to is now going to turn around and go, no, no, yeah, you're dead wrong for this. Come on, man. You can't pay, like, if your boss fucking handed you a check and then you turn around and then he turned around and was like, you don't think I'm a complete cocksucker, do you? You're not going to go, yeah, give my money, cocksucker. Well, next week's check ain't coming. You know what I mean? Like, this is what I'm saying. I ain't mean to call Tammy a bitch or anything like that because I don't know her like that. But I'm just saying, like, it's crazy as hell for this guy to put the shit out there like that. Jamie Dundee, fucked up. Iron Sheik, fucked up. Tammy, fucked up. Scott Hall, fucked up. And you just make money off of it. You hand them their check and you move on, and then you continue to make money off their downfall. Now, if they die, then, oh, shit, I didn't, well, you know, I mean, they were what they were. I didn't expect that. Bullshit. Get the fuck out of here. And then it comes down to this thing. Oh, you just allow Balls to fucking create. And you knew when Balls did those past interviews, he said what he said, but you knew when you released that shit, it was going to create a firestorm. Not just a firestorm, money for you. And future for your fucking more shoots for you. Not good fucking work. Not good business for those guys. Nothing that was other than your paycheck. No one's booking Balls off of that shit. New Jack is barely getting booked anymore because fucking who the fuck wants to deal with that shit? He's not even cool with Frank Goodman anymore because, Frank Goodman's a piece of shit. And New Jack's a fucking psycho. So how long could that fucking relationship last? Apparently not long enough. Lasted quite a bit of time, but when you add those two things together, yeah, probably not so much. So, and I'll go deeper into Frank Goodman any given fucking night. I'm just not fired up to do it tonight because I'm telling you, I've been listening to his shit. I listen to his shit just to hear how stupid a motherfucker could be. That's how I, like, this fucking guy, like, he goes on every week and just bashes the fuck out of Obama. It continues to pile on about Jack Sabbath, which no one knows about. And just tells everybody how he's the best indie promoter ever, says how he refuses to pay for indie shows, he refuses to pay any of these supposed indie workers because everyone should sell tickets for him. The reason why he didn't do the East Coast reunion show that half you workers and a lot of you guys I fucking respect were acting excited to see this shit come back to the East Coast. He canceled this shit because he wanted every cent paid for or he's not willing to do it. He didn't want to put out a single fucking penny. If he had to, he wouldn't do it. He didn't get all the shit up front, so he pulled the fuck out of the whole thing. His fucking Florida show that's supposed to go on in like October or something, he delayed till fucking December for whatever reason. Come on, man. This is what I'm saying. This is the type of promoter that if people want to get behind that, I mean, that shit is dirty as hell, the shit that he does. But, oh, it's okay. Oh, we miss Frank. Oh, USA Pro. Yeah, fuck a USA Pro. If all these other sharks were in the water and these legitimate indie companies were around back then, he would have got fucking ran out. But because he was the only fucking show in town, he was one of the only fucking people doing it, he was fucking supreme. Because he was the motherfucker that was doing it. Not because he was so fantastic at it and he fucking hooked everybody up and put people's names out there. No. Not at all. That's why his shit got sold most as best ofs on RF. Not fucking USA Pro shows getting sold on tape, DVD, all that shit. They might have got sold, but not half as much as the fucking compilations on RF as best of Homicide, best of Loki, best of Amazing Red. Fucking the other companies, JAP wasn't giving up their fucking footage. All these other, they weren't giving up their footage. And Frank would just sell any fucking thing he could to get him fucking self a dollar. It wasn't about the fucking guys. It was never about the guys. And he fucking pretty much says that shit on a weekly basis. And that's why I'm not fully getting into this yet, because I'm just going to pull tremendous amount of audio from him saying this shit himself. People could say I'm wrong. People could say, maybe you should listen to his fucking show weekly because he clearly doesn't give a fuck about none of you. And again, I'll just clip it and I'll just play the shit for all y'all to hear, you know, week for week. And I mean, I got them all on download. I listen to this shit and I shake my head and I usually go on like a half hour rant at my girl or something about what a fucking asshole this guy is. And then I move on. But eventually it's going to be, maybe I'll do like a fucking 2-hour show on Frank Goodman one night. Who knows? I don't think people care that much. So that was that shoot. You know, it is what it is. It's entertaining. Get it. Don't pay RF. Seriously, don't obtain it. Don't pay RF. You know, borrow it from a friend who also has it. Just do that shit. You know what I mean? Because fuck that dude. Fuck that dude running across lawns because fucking Chris Hansen walked into the house and that dumb shit, dude. Fuck you. Borrow it from a friend. That's what I do. Talking about, let me quick brush across something else I feel is ridiculous. Kevin Matthews. Now, I'm not just saying the dude is ridiculous as a whole. I really don't have that type of problem with him, you know? But something I thought that was really, really fucking funny is, let me see if I can find the status he posted. Because I had posted how ridiculous this whole fucking, Mr. Belding thing is. Yes. Let me see. Oh, man. I'm sorry, this is taking me so long. I'm just trying to find it, scrolling down a bunch of ridiculous statements just to find one. There's where I was arguing about Bones Jones. Yeah, I think the dude is a beast. You know what I mean, this is just me, but I don't. He said some shit about he's been in the WWE. He's been in the same building as Muda. He's been in the same building as this one. He's been in the same building as that one. And still, his favorite accomplishment ever is being in the same fucking ring at one time with fucking Mr. Belding. And I'm sorry, man. I gotta stick by my fucking last week's statement that shit is gay as a motherfucker. You really? Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I gotta just leave it at that, man. Because I mean, how much more do I really need to say about some shit like that? I just really. Oh, you're meeting the great Muda paled in comparison to you meeting Mr. Belding from Saved by the Bell.
Man, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it's whatever, man. All right. I'm going to come back, take another break, and I'm going to come back, and then I'm going to talk about CZW and then the WWE show that they did, the Raw that they did. All right, let me see. Yeah, this is new shit. There you go.
Spider, bring that in, son.
Shit, keep talking about that money, I'ma. Ha ha ha. Send a bitch home with him, let her tell us where to get him. Got the hollers in Aruba. I'm looking at your chain, cause the diamonds look clearer than that water in Aruba. You ain't even gotta jack him. You barely need a gun. You can walk up and smack him, they so soft. Then you got the racks, that fast should be up north. Donnie on his bullshit, mask in a full clip. Hopping out that whip, I'ma. Ha ha ha. Lay him down on the floor. My man at the door, my other homie downstairs, hand on the floor. I ain't even gotta kill him, I'm just coming for that roll. I'm a
yo. My daughter said stick him, mama said stick him, my son said daddy, if he move, I'ma lick him. My grandmother go to church to pray on my victim. She said,
Yeah, yo, y'all know me. I'm a slim nigga from a large family. The burner get passed around the crew like a Grammy. My little man with autism. He looked at me and looked at Duke and said, why y'all looking at me? I hope he removes the body, but where we gonna ship him? Fuck it, I just draw a dawn on me. Duck, tuck his jewels and said, shoot me. I'm not giving it up. Aw, shit, it's gonna be a long day. Homemade has got enough mops for this hallway. The chrome still smell like Ajax. Rip the jewels off his neck like chill, Paul, relax. Understand it came through. See a long rift him. The doc had to staple his face, a straight victim. This how we do it on statin. We only get caught with our hoodies off, let alone a ratchet. Yeah, yo, my daughter said stick him. Mama said stick him. My son said, daddy, if he move, I'ma lick him. My grandmother go to church to pray on my victim. She said,
yeah, my hands on the hawk, I'm a AIDS needle, I'm a got the red nose off the leash, and I can't wait to stick him, boy. Usually make him take it off slow when I strip him. Probably better to kill him, cause he can't take the whipping. Consider it charity, DVS clarity. The ARA is the Armed Robbers Academy. Put it in the bag, I don't care, whatever, homie. The big shit, all the way down to the herringbone. Credit cards, debit cards, everybody get it, guard. Wedding bands, birthstones, camouflage, earth tones. Yeah. My cloth is cut different. It don't cost nothing to just listen, but if not, I'm a.
Yeah, yo, my daughter said stick him. Mama said stick him. My son said, daddy, if he move, I'ma lick him. My grandmother go to church to pray on my victim. She said, stick him.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. All right, CZ Mother. All right, they ran their show out in Delaware. Now, from what I've heard, because again, I'm going to read just the results, but I've also heard from someone who was there live, and I ain't going to put them on the spot, so I'll just tell you what I got to tell you. The show started out Rich Swann versus Dustin Rays. Now, I had said last week, this shit don't make no motherfucking sense because they're both supposed to be heels. Now, from what I heard, Rich Swann didn't work heel. After the only thing that he's done since coming back was working heel. Then I read the results and saw that he won by roll-up using the tights. And I've even seen a picture of him holding tights. So clearly he won with the heel finish. Maybe he didn't play that much of a heel during the match. I don't know what it is, but either way, heel versus heel don't make a whole shitload of sense, especially as an opener where you really don't have any and Shane Strickland, Rich Swann type build type thing, and later on he didn't like interfere in the Shane Strickland match because that would have made some sense. So there was that. Then you had Latin Dragon up against Mr. Tofiga with Kimberly. Ended up being a count out. Mr. Tofiga actually suffered a torn quad in this match. He landed on his feet way wrong and, you know, just, you know, freaked stuff and tore his quad, and that was that. So, you know, I wish that dude a fast recovery. I mean, I hope that it all works out well for him. But, yeah, he tore his shit. Ohio's for Killers with Nevaeh, which was, you know, the Chris brothers. They went in there and beat Greg Excellent and Shane Strickland. And from what I heard, it was pretty much a comedy match. Not bad from what I hear. And that was that. Alex Colon beat Devin Moore. Devin ended up going up to the top of a truck to try to swanton Alex Colon through a table. And Chrissy, I guess, got up there and pushed Devin off the table. So Alex Colon got the win. I heard that wasn't too bad of a match. Nation of Intoxication beat Rory Mondo and Ron Mathis in a light tubes match. Heard it was okay at times, but it wasn't all of that fantastic. So just what I heard, you know what I mean? Masada beat Joe Gacy with Christina Von Erie in a Fans Bring the Weapons match. And I heard this wasn't that spectacular either. Joe Gacy fucking sucks, dude. He just, he botches tons of shit in the ring, and, you know, when he partnered up with the dude for I don't know how fucking long with Ryan Slater, or Ryan Runaway, as fucking George Costanza called him, and Joe Runaway fucking powerbombed his fucking head into the back of a fucking microwave, like his back of his head into a fucking microwave. Clearly, we weren't working together with too much chemistry to make something look good. So, you know, I don't expect anything good about pushing fucking Joe Gacy. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if there's a lot of supporters of Joe Gacy. I'm sure my listeners will drop next week. But I think Joe Gacy is a shit worker. You can tell by his physique he doesn't give a fuck about what he's doing. And you can tell by his fucking continued way of ring work, quality of ring work, that he doesn't work on a lot of his shit. Now, if he does, it doesn't fucking show. I know with the Runaways, I always liked fucking Ryan Slater to a certain extent, and I thought that, like, he would progress, but he would also, like, regress. Like, he would look good one month. Even the team as a whole would look good one month, be like, oh, wow, they're really fucking finding this out. Oh, what a cohesive unit. And then, like, the next month, they'd fucking botch six moves in a match. And you'd be like, oh, wow, fucking now you're on Botchamania. And then the next month, maybe you'll look good. Who knows? But it's inconsistent shit. And Gacy has just been consistently fucking sloppy as fuck. Like, that sloppy Joe chant didn't just come up because his name is Joe. There's been a lot of fucking people named Joe. Fucking Samoa Joe was a pretty fat dude. He never got a sloppy Joe chant a day in his fucking life. Why do you think that is? You know? Let's be fucking real. I just don't know. Like, I just think, you know, some of these people are just fucking signed on by whoever the fuck in the back, and then they just like, well, I don't care if the fans think you're garbage and everybody in the wrestling world thinks you're garbage. You know, if, you know, every promoter out there would never put you on the fucking main event, but I just decide that fucking, you know, you suck good enough dick in the back, or, you know, or you just, I know, not even to put the guy down. Oh, you know what? You're just a class act. You're a really nice guy. You've done everything I've asked you, and you're just a good guy. You're just a really good guy. So you know what? I know you can't wrestle, but you're just a great guy, and I'm just going to go ahead and push you. And maybe that's the case. That's still not going to work in your company. Okay, speaking of what else doesn't work in your fucking company, let's go on to the fucking main event. Here we go with this. Matt Tremont defeats DJ Hyde in a squirreled circle of fear match. Blah, blah, blah. Following the match, DJ Hyde fires Matt Tremont. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, here's the fucking fact of the matter. And I've heard from several fucking sources of a lot of the shit that went down here. First off, another match where DJ Hyde didn't take shit. Tangledweb, DJ Hyde didn't take shit. Matt Tremont took murderous shit in Tangled Web. And then we pretended like we were going to pop this fucking feud off after that match. And this was going to be worse. And this was going to be more over the top. And this was going to be even crazier. When, of course, you know it's still going to go towards Cage of Death. Yeah, I mean, you already know this shit is going to end up in Cage of Death and some more shit. But guess what? Tremont probably already gave you his fucking best performance at Tangled Web when he fucking killed himself for you and you didn't do shit. And then we go on to another match, and Tremont did his fucking thing from what I hear, but he couldn't fucking replicate the fucking murderous shit he took for you fucking a couple months ago with fucking Tangled Web. Hey, what the fuck else do you want from this guy? You didn't take a fucking thing. Your fucking head looked barely fucking bloody and sweaty as a motherfucker after Tangled Web, and just cut a fucking promo when Matt Tremont looked like a goddamn zombie because he had fucking 2x4s and barbed wire and took crazy, crazy fucking bumps that should be putting your company on a fucking head shelf somewhere as one of the most fucking hardcore companies. But when you look at the other guy who's supposed to be the fucking owner, yeah, you didn't do a fucking thing. But yeah, you're a huge heel and all that shit. Okay, let's get off DJ's fucking shit for 1 minute. Oh, well, sort of, because something that DJ allows is this other little fucking scumbag, this other little referee fucking scumbag, Brett Lauderdale. So
how did he ref this this big blow-off match between DJ Hyde, the owner, and Matt Tremont, the future of the deathmatch scene and all that? How did he fucking portray himself as a ref? Oh, that's right. He walked around the ring reffing with a fucking beer in his hand and a fucking black and mild in his mouth. Why are we allowing this little cocksucker to walk around and make himself a fucking, hey, look at me. Look how cool I am while I'm being a ref. You should be fucking ashamed of yourself. This little cocksucker, straight up. Everybody should know already. I hate this little motherfucker. He's the reason why I don't attend shows, because I need to be with my motherfucking family and not catch some fucking charges. But beyond that, it's because of the way he fucking acts. He acted that way towards me on some old passive-aggressive shit, and I ain't about that. You know what I mean? The next thing that would happen would not be passive. So I'm just leaving it at that. I'm not making threats. I'm not saying anything like that, because I know he's a little homo. So I'm just leaving it at that and just let you lose money because you allow this type of shit in your company. But if you tell me that it doesn't look bad when this motherfucker is walking around the ring, you're trying to do a death match. You're trying to do a big blow-off match between Superface and the fucking heel boss. And he's walking around the motherfucker with a black and mild and a fucking beer like he's chilling. Like it don't make a motherfucking difference. Like he's just too cool for that shit to happen. Now, the time where that kind of makes sense is when you have the drunken death match and you had Jordy, who was not even the regular referee, and he's in there drinking because everyone's drinking, and then they said, oh, the ref's going to have to drink, it's a drunken death match, and it worked well within gimmick. But when Mr. fucking Lauderdale gets to walk in there and just be like, I just can't stop smoking even during the match and shit. I'm just going to black and mild this motherfucker. I got some beer and shit. Why doesn't he do all the fucking coke he does in the ring while he's there? Why doesn't he fucking eat pills? Why doesn't he drive fucking Nick Gage to fucking Atlantic City to fucking spend some bank robbery money? Why doesn't he do all this other shit that he likes to do in his free time while in the ring so he can look cooler? I just can't stand this little cocksucker. And I've seen other people who have also posted that they would fucking reattend shows if the fucking guy wasn't in the ring, if the guy wasn't there. Yeah, I mean, he's a scumbag. He's a fucking scumbag. And the fact that you allow him to walk around in your main event and make it less professional makes you less professional, DJ. Makes you look like a fucking douche. Makes you look like you shouldn't own a fucking company because you're like, you know what? Fucking why not? I don't give a shit. You're in the fucking ring and you don't take offense to that stupid shit. How is that? How is that? So now you did the Tangle Web match. Then let's fast forward to this match where no rope, no canvas, no fucking everything, barbed wire everywhere. Fans bring fucking their mothers and lace them in thumbtacks and fucking set them on fire and spike a fucking Tremont into it and whatever. And then Tremont wins and you're fired. Like, oh, yeah, great. Yeah, that's clearly a fucking work because you ain't carrying the fucking torch in deathmatch wrestling even during the fucking Tremont match when, you know, he took all the fucking abuse to sell DVDs for your shit. So I'm sure that's definitely a work. That's no one in the world could sell that to me that you actually fired him. Like you can get whoever fired up and, you know, tell a couple of marks to fucking sell it on the internet for you. Like, I can't believe they fired Matt. Like, get the fuck out of my face, dude. I'm actually an adult. So like that shit will never sell with me. But so now when you follow that and you go to Cage of Death, and clearly that's the biggest build you have. Yeah, you're also building Nation of Intoxication versus 4 Loko in the We Have Alcohol gimmicks match. And that's fine. It's not a main event, dude. I mean, you're failing on a lot of fucking aspects of this booking, a lot. And I'll continue to – I mean, we have till December. I'll be here all day. But this is the shit that I see on paper. And if you just see that, like, yeah, another successful show in the books, oh, it'll be up on Sunday on iPay-Per-View. Oh, shit, it's fucking Wednesday. I don't think it's up yet. So you guys are doing great. Keep up the good work. It is what it is. I mean, there's just some people that you allow to fucking run wild in there. You allow people in the backstage to run wild and pull politics and pull all types of bullshit. You can see everybody's friends booked on certain matches. You can see everybody's friends booked on other matches.
shit that would never work in a million fucking years, but you think it's cool. You allow Gabe to run in there and take all your fucking talent because you would love for that fucking guy to be to just like you. It's like you're trying to make friends through your fucking company that you're losing fucking money on. You have to be losing money on it because you're losing talent that made you money. So how could that not lose you money? I stopped attending after fucking over a decade of attending. So clearly you're losing that money, and I cannot be the only one. So maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just an asshole. Maybe I'm just a fan that doesn't know shit and doesn't have the fucking right to say anything about something he doesn't know about. But, you know, I talk about things that entertain me, and if they stop entertaining me, I'm going to start telling people why. I love wrestling. I really, really love wrestling. As I would point out, any one of these matches that you put on that are really good, I'll put it over in a fucking second because I love wrestling. I enjoy watching it. I enjoy talking about it. This is why I do a show. I don't do a show just to bury people, but when people are blatant fucking douchebags over the top and just decide that they're just going to put themselves over and bury people who are fucking talented and stop booking people and legit take fucking paydays away from people to give them to other people who don't deserve it. And I mean, there's a bunch of shit that goes on. There's just a bunch of shit that goes on. And this is just me from a fan's perspective. So, I mean, it is what it is. Take it for what it is. Just an opinion. But, yeah. Raw. Really didn't watch it that much. I fast-forwarded the fuck through this. I'm probably going to start watching more of this. Hopefully, if things go right. They started off and they, man, Punk had a lot of fucking, mic time. So, they did the whole thing. They started the whole thing out with CM Punk and all that, and Paul Heyman in there, and pretty much they called out the ref, the you know, pin with the foot on the ropes, and called him out. Then they had AJ out, and AJ, I gotta tell you, AJ's a really good actress. She, like, Punk started laying into her, because, you know, she started talking shit to Punk, and Punk was more or less like, yeah, I know why you're hating. I know why you're hating. And, you know, let's look at the screen. And they show the thing where, like, she proposed to him and he blew her off. Like, yeah, ain't that a bitch? And he's like, yeah, why don't you, you know, tell people on how, you know, all how intimate we were behind closed doors. You know, there's a reason there was a skip in your step. And why don't you tell everybody out there why I'm the best in the world? You know what I mean? It really, like, put it on her. And you could see, like, her eyes, like, welling up with tears and shit. Like, she was actually getting upset. So, again, great acting on her part. You know, because, like, they tried that shit with Eve, and Eve would just look like, what time does Glamour Girl start? Like, she's a fucking idiot. Every time they tried an acting role with her, this bitch was just, like, had the worst facial expression ever to fucking counter whatever they were trying to do with her. She's just a fucking abomination of trying some kind of angle or acting with her. You know, she might be a good looking chick or whatever, but she's a fucking moron when it comes down to actually working a role. But AJ's been pulling off everything they try to do with her. And honestly, I still think the GM thing's a retarded idea, because again, the only reason it worked with AJ is when you work her within people she had previous angles with. The Daniel Bryan, Punk, Kane thing was working completely well, because, you know, they built it up and they worked it like that. But as soon as they broke it out of that and she's GM, well, the only time the GM thing works is when she's working with Punk, Daniel Bryan. Yeah, I mean, like, it's still the same shit. And she's skipping around like a fucking idiot. So then, you know, Punk's still cutting all sorts of promos, whatever. They're going to do this little fucking, talk about, interview with Jerry Lawler and all that. Well, whatever. Then they ran Dolph Ziggler, Kofi Kingston. Not terrible, but I don't know what they're doing with these guys. I have no idea, you know. Now that they took the belts off of the Kofi and Truth thing, and again, they're back to fucking limbo where they really don't know what to do. Ziggler should be a fucking face. How long is it going to take them for them to do that? I have no idea. It's all weird. They're doing... And then they go to fantastic fucking segments. They're doing fucking awesome segments with fucking Daniel Bryan and Kane. I mean, it's just insane. They're doing fucking funny shit. Yeah, you know, like just
they're doing really, really good things with them. Just the angles all together works funny. They're doing the perfect, like, mismatch tag team, and they're working great skits with them, and their matches in the ring are really gelling, and, like, it just – Daniel Bryan is pulling it together really well. Kane's playing a really good part as the, you know, the evil, but not having to do much. Daniel Bryan's taking the majority athleticism, and, you know, the comedy has worked really well together between them. So I like it. I don't see a fresher thing that you could actually do with Kane at this point in his career. And Daniel Bryan, he's just taken on a huge personality. A guy that, honestly, when he was in the indies, he was a guy that I looked at and was just like, yeah, he's got all the technical ability in the world, but, like, you know, personality-wise, yeah. And he even had, like, I remember Ruckus calling him fucking generic wrestler. You just look like a fucking default. Yeah, he said, you just look like a default wrestler on a video game. And that's what it was. Like, he would just wear, like, solid blue fucking tights and just fucking really didn't have anything. This is before he started, like, with the beard and, like, fucking open trench coat shit and all that, you know. But there was a point where he was that. Now the personality he's taken on in the WWE, man, I can't be more proud to see him doing his fucking thing like that, because I'm blown away. And it's such an entertaining thing to see him actually do what he's doing there. So that's great stuff. Hope they just continue with that. Darren Young and Titus O'Neil versus Zack Ryder and Santino Marella. I don't give a fuck. I don't know where they found the Santino Zack Ryder bullshit from when they were doing Santino and Brodus Clay. I thought that was a great pairing. Zack Ryder, I couldn't dislike this fucking guy any more than I already do. So fuck them. I like Santino. Black Cena and Titus O'Neil. I don't know what to say about him. Then we go to the ring again for Mick Foley. And we come in the ring again with Punk. So Punk and Mick Foley go back and forth in a pretty good promo segment where, you know, they're going back and forth, and Punk's like telling him, like, dude, you fucking made your career off of doing stupid fucking barbed wire matches and chairs and tables and fucking all this dangerous stuff. And I don't need to do any of that to get myself over. You know, I'll talk on the mic. I'll tell these people what I'm going to tell them. And I'm going to go out there and just be the best in the world. And that's how I'm going to bring them to their knees, because they have no choice but to like me. Just great heel shit. And then, you know, Foley being what he was and just like keep saying that him and Cena need to go into Hell in the Cell. And which there's a point where it became like really weird, because he said something like, I was WWE champion 28 days combined. And this was after CM Punk told him it was like 313 days or something he was world champion. So he's like, so do you want to just be another champion, or do you want to be a legend? Like, wait a minute. Like, so you pointed out that you don't even reach, like, a third, I'm not even going to do complete math on this, but not even a third of what Punk accomplished longevity-wise, and say that, like, he needs to just do, like, a Hell in the Cell, and then he'll be a legend? Like, I really didn't get, like, that was the one part that was like, oh, you kind of lost me there, buddy. But otherwise, you know, it was good. And they went back and forth, and, you know, Punk was like, you know, more or less like, I would beat you up, but everybody about, you know, you and everybody else and Bret Hart fucking hit me, and you can hit me all you want. Go ahead, hit me. But you guys are beneath me. And just, like, pretty much walked out on him. But it was a pretty good segment, other than that one line that I just really, really didn't get where he was going with. Then they had Miz versus Ryback, non-title, which I don't know why. So Ryback comes out there, pretty much Ryback's the fuck out of Miz. During this match, some sloppy-ass fans slid in the ring, like right before Ryback was going to hit the fucking clothesline on Miz. If this fan can please call into my show and tell me, what would possess your motherfucking ass to slide into the ring when Ryback is murdering a fucking other wrestler? See, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I know people get drunk and they hop guardrails and maybe like a heel pisses somebody off enough to this and that. But like Ryback's whole thing is like, I fucking hurt 2 and 3 people at a time. And there's only one guy in the ring and then you're just going to slide in. I mean, what do you think is going to happen? Like, I'm not really sure what was the goal there? Were you going to beat Ryback? I don't think you were. I feel really awkward like that. Yeah, maybe a drunken dare. Hey, Tank, I didn't even know all these people were in my chat room, for Christ's sake. I'm over here, like, trying to make sure I'm accurate on the order of things that happen on the Raw. And I was like, Jesus. Click back over, and Tank's actually in the... See, maybe that's because I called her out last night. I'm like, yeah, you don't even listen to my show. And she's like, touche. So now she's got to fucking do it once. This will be her quota. Be like, I listened one time. Yeah, I got you. Let's see where you're going with this. All right, so the Ryback wins, and John Cena's going to talk because, they give you the heads up that, by the way, John Cena will talk tonight. Because when they say John Cena is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, that means he'll tell you tomorrow. He'll tell you next Monday. He'll tell you how he's going to be out a while. But you'll see just in-ring segments from here to there. So then they do Wade Barrett, Tyson Kidd. I don't care. It was moving really fast when I hit the couple arrows on the DVR a bunch of times. And then I slowed down and saw David Otunga, Ricardo Rodriguez, Alberto Del Rio, Sheamus, Rey Mysterio, Sin Cara. And then I hit those arrows again. And it went really fast. And that was that. So then John Cena came out to talk, I think. Oh, no. Yeah, more. Wow. This is all weird. A lot of segments. They're killing me with the segments. Daniel Bryan again. They did awesome with that. It just, the segments are really fucking hilarious for what they're doing. What else did they do? Now Colts. I think they went for, what the fuck did they call them? I have no idea. They were supposed to reveal the name of their team, and then Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow are together now. So, yeah, there you go there. Layla and Alicia Fox versus Eve Torres and Beth Phoenix. Not really completely a fantastic thing. Eve won, but they kind of still buried Beth. I had heard rumors that they were going to get rid of their team. Hell no. Oh, okay. The King? Yeah, I don't care about Jerry Lawler, so fuck him. The same guy that just wanted a shovel steak in his face when people were like, is he going to make it? And like, oh, there's this smiling ass eating fucking sautéed onions in his fucking bed. Oh, fuck yourself. Oh, Jesus. So, I don't know. Then they did that, and... Yeah, Beth Phoenix still kind of got buried. And there's like that rumor that Beth Phoenix might be leaving and that type of thing. And after what they did, I wouldn't really doubt it. They're like looking for a blonde chick that attacked fucking Caitlyn in the back. And then fucking Eve buried Beth. And then Beth's like, I ain't fucking do it. And then they're talking about a blonde chick some more, so maybe Kelly's coming back, because I know everyone missed her, but in the same token, they still buried Beth in the process, and it's like, I really could care less. Like, I'm trying to keep up, but in the same token, I don't give a fuck. So it's awkward for me, you know? I'm just for me, it's awkward. So, then Brodus Clay fought Tensei, which, yeah, I mean... Then the Big Show comes back and then punches people, and then this punches Brodus Clay. And why do they want me to not care? It just seems like they're striving, like, all right, well,
Brodus Clay's Tensei. Well, those are two big dudes. I don't know how this is going to work at all, because Brodus Clay's all dancing and fun-loving, and Tensei's supposed to be a crusher. And it's hard to crush people who are, like, around the same size as you, because you really can't throw them around much. And then, like, striking-wise, you're really not going to go back and forth striking, because Brodus Clay's never been a striker. So when you come down to, like, these guys are going to bang out, and the fun-loving face is going to – now he's going to look like shit. This match is not booked for anyone to look any good. And then Big Show comes in to save the day and drop people with right hand. Well, I'm bored. It's so stupid. I hate the Big Show so badly. They come back with John Cena. He's got his arm in a sling, and he's got like five levels of fucking pink on him. He's all laced up, you know. He's got pink fucking shoelaces and a pink bra and a fucking and a hat and like a strap on his sling and everything. He's all fucking lined up with the pink. And Punk's like, yeah, I'm gonna fuck you up. I mean, why are you here? I'm just gonna beat you up. You got a fucking sling, it's gonna make it worse. Tell you what, you're gonna get fucked up. I'm going to go ahead and turn my back. This always works out for everybody. Every time someone turns their back and gives someone an option to leave, it always works out really, really well for the opponent. It always works out great. He's going to turn his back, and he's going to, this is your last warning, buddy, and fucking you go ahead and leave. Then he produces, apparently, when John Cena hurt his elbow, he decided to join an Olympic relay race team. Because he had one of those little batons from the relay races in his, he had a baton in his pocket. Wasn't like, listen, anyone who wants to call that a lead pipe, let's stop it, okay? He had a baton from the relay races at the elementary school that he did a fucking Be a Star campaign at, you know? He took that baton from the Make-A-Wish kid that's not going to run another race. And then he showed up. And he, oh, yeah, look what I got behind his back. And fucking he turns around. He's like, well, I'm going to hit you in the stomach a little bit. It's like the weakest fucking thing. And Punk's just like, oh, my stomach, and walks to the back. And they show him, like, walking out. He's like, oh, yeah. Oh, boy, my stomach. And, I shouldn't have ate the whole thing. He's got this, like, indigestion look on his face, and he's kind of holding his stomach. Like, it's just not working out. That was probably too spicy for what I should have ate tonight. Oh, Jesus, I'm going to pay tomorrow. And he's just walking out, like, kind of irritated looking. Not like he just had his ribs crushed, just kind of like, oh, God, I got to shit or something. And he's walking out, and he sees Mick Foley, and he's like, yeah, fuck you. And he stops and looks at him, and he, like, kicks him in the stomach. Then he walks, like, a couple steps, and he stops. And he turns around, like, yeah, I'm going to go fuck him up some more. And Ryback's standing there, and he's just looking shocked, and Ryback is breathing at him. So that was how they went off the air. Now, here's where I got to say it. This is the only thing that I will accept to happen right now. Ryback needs to align with CM Punk. This needs to be a complete swerve. CM Punk needs to be, right now, he needs to be a chicken shit heel. He needs to put on the great wrestling matches more or less pay-per-view-wise. Get into limited interaction, mic work, be there, run-ins, you know, swerve shit on those TV shows. Paul Heyman also doing mic work, using like himself as like the legal representation for CM Punk and what he has to do and what he, you know, the loopholes that he gets himself in and out of. Like back in the day when Jericho was working like all the loopholes of like why he didn't have to work or why this match didn't, you know, like he used to do that back in the day. I think it was still WCW when he was doing that. But like that type of thing, Paul Heyman's going to work that type of angle. CM Punk's going to work the chicken shit heel that still tells you every week that he's the best around and he doesn't need to fucking work anybody that doesn't deserve his fucking matches and this and that. And then Ryback to be the enforcer,
to go in there and just be the crusher, the bodyguard, the guy who runs through people who think that they have a shot at the world title, but they don't. Or the guy who goes in there and interferes in John Cena matches or interferes in this guy or that guy's matches. And I honestly originally thought that that was exactly what they were going to do with Brock Lesnar. But Brock Lesnar, even if he comes back, he's on a limited engagement deal. He's not going to be there on a weekly basis. And I really think CM Punk needs someone on a weekly basis to pull that fucking beastly fucking bodyguard angle off. And I think that would be the best thing that they can do. And where Ryback is now, I think it would work completely perfect on what he's doing. So I go with that 100%. And I would do that. So them teasing this thing with Ryback now, I would definitely turn it that way. Where now he's fucking threatened, and then it turns around, and Ryback's actually with him, and that's what goes on. So that's what I would go with, and I would find that highly entertaining, and I would be more likely to, you know, pay a little more attention to it, because I think that would be a really good way to go. A lot of the WWE really fucking just, it's the same old characters. It's like dull fucking characters across the board. Even some of the guys I enjoy is just like, it's just dull. It's just dull and repetitive, and I'm just tired of seeing the same shit portrayed the same way every week, week in and week out. That would be something kind of fresh that would work, and, you know, other people said, you know, things very similar to that. So, but again, everything I think would come together with that type of thing. Not everything, but at least that angle, the main event picture, I think would have a whole different spin on it, and people trying to, you know, crush this corporation or whatever you want to call it, this alliance of those guys, and it would be really good stuff, I think. So that's just my opinion on that. Guess that's all I got. I'm gonna give the shout outs. First off, tonight it's like most of the shows that I have to plug happen tonight. I mean, you got Stern Nation I plugged earlier, and they're on Ustream. Definitely, again, check them out, Stern Nation group on Facebook, and get them on the iTunes some goddamn where, and subscribe to them so they're just on your thing every week, no matter what day of the week they decide to do it, because they're kind of sporadic on when they do them. But definitely get that. I guess Women Love Wrestling 2 is done with their show at this point, because they just logged in and I'm logging out. But definitely check them out. They do Women Love Wrestling 2. I think that's blogtalkradio.com/WLW2. Definitely another show that you need to check out on a regular basis. So get that on your iTunes. Get that up there. So no matter what, whether you listen to us, whether you listen to them, put all of these people on iTunes. You'll have stuff to listen to all week long. Also the Sports Den, who are on Ustream as well, and they also have a Facebook group. You check them out on there, they'll let you know when they're going on, and again, it's like it's crazy as hell. It's like Ustream/channel/something else shows/Sports Den/Buccaneers/Chef Dube. So I don't know. Listen, that's what I'm saying. Hit up their group. They'll give you a more accurate link than what I can give you. I started out this show like over 2 years ago now. And my favorite saying back then was just Google that shit, because I couldn't memorize anything that I was trying to go through. Like, I like those. Just Google that shit. So, but I'm directing you a little closer to the vest right now. I'm going to write all these stuff down, and all these backslashes and hashes and all that. And yeah, I'm going to get it right. One of these days I'm going to get it right. I mean, well, of course, Wrestling Soup on Thursday, I believe, I don't know. Tank, what's going on there? They got website issues, and they, WrestlingSoup.com is, it'd probably give you like a 505 error. I think it's a 505. I don't even know what error it is. Probably an error. It'll redirect you to Cockle Dockle. To the, yeah. You know, now I don't plug. Come on. Half of my stuff is comedic. He's the till working on it. That's artistical. So, yeah, there you go. But yeah, it's in the works. Mish has got far better control on anything I do, so I'm sure he'll have it up there. Just keep an eye out. Like I said, it's normally WrestlingSoup.com. Keep an eye on all these Facebook groups. They're going to give you the down low on what's going on. You know, whether a stream messes up or a server messes up, usually the Facebook groups will keep you pretty much up to date on what's going on with everybody, from Yakuza Kick to Wrestling Soup, Women Love Wrestling to Stern Nation, Sports Den, Two Moms One Show, of course, and they're on Tuesday nights. So I think that's all the plugs I got. Like I said, the most important thing is to get all these people on iTunes, so it's just there every week. You got all this stuff to deal with. I mean, it's tons of stuff to listen to. Believe me, I listen to all of those shows, and then I have my other shows that don't know me at all, which is clearly the Howard Stern show that I listen to. And then I listen to Adam Carolla's podcast. I listen to Bill Burr's Monday Morning podcast. I mean, these are all things that I fit into my work week. I listen to all of it. I cram it in there because I can listen to, you know, iPod stuff like through my entire work day. Like, I just put in one earbud and I just go with it. So, now I'm able to listen to tons of stuff. I work 8-hour days, 6 days a week. So I cover a lot of ground and, you know, clearly got to shout out all my family. And I think that, you know, everybody should go out there and subscribe to everything because it's a good thing. Maybe you'll get to it all. Maybe you won't, but it's a good variety of things, lots of entertainment, whatever you like, pretty much cover it all. I think so. If we don't, shout at one of us that comes closest to what you want to hear about, and we'll probably help you out. Just, you know, just pick the right show and just, hey, I'd like to hear more of that. And somebody's going to help you out. I know that. So anyway, I think I'm all done babbling for tonight. Almost 3 hours. So, yeah, for my dude David Long came on earlier. Good dude. Juan was on for, whatever, 10 minutes, and then his wife yelled at him or something. But shout out to everybody. Check me out next week. Tell your friends and everybody else. Download it. Get me on iTunes. Let's keep these downloads going. Loving it. Check everybody out next week. Love y'all. Peace.
But you go to the back and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.
We're taking over. We're taking over.